Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, December 26, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by app, phone, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of the website. And you could do that by purchasing the book, Government by Consent and Court Access and a Common Law. You can find them on the right-hand side of our website also. Also, please consider joining our campaign for constitutional sheriffs, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago, right before the Christmas holidays. We're in Romans chapter 12. We'll be picking up there. So it's been a couple of weeks. Let me see if I can find. There it is. Okay. Okay, Romans chapter 12. We're picking up from 2 weeks ago. Read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Okay. I think it was last week or maybe the week before we read the paper that we're heading out to the Supreme Court. I don't know whether I'm going to... excuse me. don't know whether I'm going to be able to complete the work on this paper before the end of the week, actually. I wanted to file this before the end of the year. I know that the Supreme Court doesn't come into session until the 6th, and we're not expecting to really get in that early into the Supreme Court. Maybe so, but we'll see what happens. But as soon as I do finish the paper, we will get it out. Also, there's a matter of really getting enough funds to send it out. I may reduce the amount of papers involved in this paper. Let me just open the page. This page here, let's see, is found here right on the front page. If you click on read our mandamus to the United States Supreme Court, and this should open. This is the draft that we read. It has changed a little bit, and even since I posted this up, it's changed a little bit more. I found some corrections, made a few adjustments, and added maybe a paragraph or so and a few sentences here and there. But what I'm working on right now is the memorandums. Let's see if we have it set up here. I guess we don't on this page. This is the cover sheet. Okay, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a different one. Let me see if I can find that quick enough. Well, I'm going to have to go through my files to get to it. Hang on a second. Almost there. Oh, by the way, while I'm trying to get through this, maybe we'll take some questions if we have any. Terry, do you know if we have any questions?
I've been looking, John, and not really.
Okay. All right. Well,
when people make some statements, but that was about all. And the one question that was had, I answered it on email, and so he should be here.
Okay. All right. Anyway, here's the latest paper of what we have up on our website. I'll have to update it. I'll update it shortly. Like I said, I added a few things, and I did add a table of contents, which I guess I didn't have last time. And here is the list of all the memorandums that are attached and also the handbooks. We've got a couple of handbooks that will be attached to this. One is for the grand jury, the other is for the petit jury. But I think we have a total of about 19 memorandums. And, you know, quite a few of these are actually already written, but I'm going through perfecting them, updating them, making a few changes here or there. And there are a couple that haven't been written yet at all, and that's what I've been working on somewhat. This memorandum of law, which is the abrogation of the common law, well, the law of the land, that's probably what we're going to look at tonight. Let me see if I can believe this is it here. Yeah, memorandum of law concerning the abrogation of the law of the land. So what I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to read maybe one memorandum every week. This is only about 4 pages long. It's not too long. And as same as last time when I read the paper, it'll be the first time I'm reading it out loud. This kind of helps me anyway to discover any errors that I might have. Sometimes you're right and you have a dropped thought. Same thing might happen here from time to time. So reading out loud really helps me to make sure that it's been perfected as far as, you know, coming out in a proper way and have proper English and so on. So let me read this. A memorandum of law concerning the abrogation of the law of the land. This is Article 3, Subsection 2. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity. The purpose of this memorandum is to expose a seditious conspiracy via the 1934 Rules Enabling Act, perpetrated by the 73rd Congress, the American Bar Association, and the United States Supreme Court, and the federal judiciary, which have poisoned every attorney and every court in America by replacing law and equity with civil law. in 1938. Subsequently, together said perpetrators did conspire and did overthrow the government of the United States of America by abrogating the People's Court of Justice, turning him into a den of thieves, in violation of 18 U.S.C. 2383 and 18 U.S.C. 2384, whereas the American Bar Association, being the chief orchestrator, advocates, abets, advises, and teaches the duty, necessity, desirability of abrogating the law of the land to the minions of the New World Order, also known as the Bar Attorneys, in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 2385. This single treasonous act abrogated our courts of law, courts of equity, the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, and our Bill of Rights. Said conspirators have levied war against the Constitution, and thereby we the people. They have given aid and comfort to the enemy within the United States and elsewhere. Just a quick note, you know, all of these papers that we write, we have quite a few footnotes, and, you know, all of the paperwork behind what's being written here is found in the footnotes, so all of our proofs and documents and so on. Anyway, let me read on. They have concealed the conspiracy to destroy our republic. They have engaged in actions to subvert the government of the United States. They have conspired to conceal natural law, also known as the law of the land. They have, in congruence with the teachings of the American Bar Association, the National Lawyers Guild, the American Civil Liberties Union, the National Lawyers Association, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and many other anti-constitutional associations, knowingly and willfully advocated, abetted, advised, and teach that natural law, and thereby the law of the land, has been abrogated, and thus have conspired to overthrow our republic. We advise these judges versus Cooper versus Aaron, via Cooper versus Aaron, that any judge who does not comply with his oath to the Constitution of the United States, wars against the Constitution, and engages in acts in violation of the supreme law of the land. The judge is engaged in acts of treason. Under the ABA's Rule Enabling Act of 1934, the 73rd Congress enabled the United States Supreme Court the authority to prescribe rules under 28 U.S.C. subsection 2072A. The United States Supreme Court and the federal judiciary then covertly abused that authority to conceal and abridge the supreme law of the land under Federal Rule 2. According to the Federal Judiciary Center, a government agency, on September 16, 1938, pursuant to the de facto authority under the Repugnant Rules Enabling Act of 1934, via Rule 2, stated that the Supreme Court enacted uniform rules of procedure for the federal courts. Under the new rules, suits in equity and suits of common law were grouped together under the term civil action, claiming that rigid application of common law rules brought about injustice. Now, on the back of this, I don't think I have it on this memorandum, and I'm looking, it doesn't look like I do. There is a copy of the Federal Judiciary, not sure what C stood for, but on their site anyway, Center maybe, the Federal Judiciary Center, there's a page put out by the Supreme Court that states, this is a quote right off of their own website. So they this is exactly when they turned our courts of law into civil law courts, thereby really abrogating the Constitution as well as the law of the land, which again is the Constitution. The truth of the matter, well, let me go back. The ABA judiciary's dark reasoning for abolishing common law is because they claim that a rigid application of common law rules, also known as God's self-evident truths and maxims, brought about injustice. This is absurd, considering that God is good, just, and merciful, and they are not. And therefore it follows that his laws is just and merciful, while the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? The truth of the matter is that common law sheds light on the American Bar Association's judiciary's dark deeds, thereby revealing their true intentions. As a result, bureaucrats fear the people, via the light of the law, allowing liberty to flourish and preventing the New World Order from filling the face of the world with their dark cities. Their claim that common law rules brought about injustice was an act of deflection, whereas their civil law rules brought about injustice. This seditious act, under the teaching and guidance of the treacherous, subversive American Bar Association and the aforesaid anti-constitutional associations, executed a silent coup by claiming the abrogation of the common law, also known as natural law, with its unalienable rights that they were endowed by our Creator, and covertly substituted them with civil rights legislated by lawless men. The ABA Federal Judiciary Center, proceeding under the de facto authority of 28 U.S.C. 620, claim their purpose is to further the development and adoption of improved judicial administration in the courts of the United States. One of the center's main functions is to educate and train personnel of the judicial branch of the government, including but not limited to judges, magistrates, clerks of the court, probation officers, lawyers, and persons serving as mediators and arbitrators. Presently, the center's governing board is chaired by Chief Justice of the United States, John G. Roberts, Jr. As per Black's Law, law derives from precedents, legislation, or custom under three categories. Common law, which is subject to natural law written by nature's God in his word in the hearts of the men and in the hearts of men. Equity, under our Constitution, is subject to the Constitution written by the people by the authority vested in them by nature's God via the Declaration of Independence, which was a covenant with God and therefore cannot be broken but by his wrath. Civil law is subject to the state. Any law subject to a constitution written by the state is civil law and not equity, written by men whose conscience is seared. The Constitution defines the law of the land as common law and equity, as the supreme law of the land, whereas judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or the laws of any state, which includes rules, to the contrary, notwithstanding. It appears that the judges, who are expected to know the law, need to be instructed in the law, or are guilty of high treason under 18 U.S.C. 2381, whereas Congress alone was empowered with under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, to write laws in equity. Congress does not possess the power to abrogate natural law. That jurisdiction belongs to God. So tell us, by what authority do these arrogant, tyrannical, seditious, ABA-indoctrinated judges think that they can change God's laws? Do they think they are above God and that they can just change our natural law to civil law, which places the people under their merciless, destructive jurisdiction of Leviathan? This action is the very definition of a coup, and the said defendants are therefore guilty of treason. Until we, the people, take back our stolen republic by reinstating law and equity in our courts, there will be no justice in American courts, and America will be lost forever. James Madison said, "The people have an indubitable, unalienable, and indefeasible right to reform or change their government whenever it be found adverse or inadequate to the purpose of its institution." We, the people, agree and codify this right in the preamble on the Declaration of Independence, declaring whenever any form of government becomes destructive to our rights, it is the right of the people to alter government and institute new servants. We, the people, have the unalienable right to be free, to have access to our courts of justice, and to have government by consent. As Samuel Adams said, "The natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth, and not to be under the will or legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature for his rule." Okay, so it was a pretty short memorandum. Again, that memorandum is written in support. Let me just close this up here. Okay, in support of this paper, and as I mentioned, and we read, again, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before we actually read this, but in the end of the paper here is when we list out all the things that we wanted them to declare. And I'm just going to read through the declarations here very quickly. It's very short. And, you know, I restructured this and I kind of re-altered a little bit, you know, changed some of the wording in here. But here's some of the things that we are commanded. You are hereby commanded to make, hang on 1 minute. There's another paragraph we added also. Well, we'll pick it up here. You are hereby commanded to make declaratory judgment rulings as follows and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. Number one, declare common law the law of the land. Declare the Rules Enabling Act of 1934 and 1938, which is the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, null and void, because it subverts the rules of common law. Declare that civil law is not the law of the land and is barred from our courts because it subverts the common law. Then I refer to the memorandum that we just read. Number two, clarification between law and equity, whereas equity courts are for fictions such as government agencies, agents, and commercial activities, and law is for the people by the people. Number three, declared the unratified, well, as a matter of fact, I have a paper here that talks about the unratification, that is, you know, 17th Amendment was never ratified, so it's unratified, but I can no longer hold to that. I read through all those papers, and my counter brought a different opinion. I was very surprised, because actually, out of the 50 states, there was, and I believe, well, actually, I think back then it was 49, but in any event, they had 44 states that actually went along with the 17th Amendment, and the 17th Amendment takes away the power of the authority and the authority of the states to send the senators to Washington and turned it over to the people for voting, which was totally insane. I have no idea how they convinced all of these legislative bodies. If there was 44 states, they had to convince 88 legislative bodies in order to agree to this, to agree to give up their suffrage in the Senate. I mean, it's just totally insanity. It's insane. You know, I did go through the papers state by state, and indeed they did agree, and the governor signed off on it. Like I said, I believe there was five states. Four didn't respond at all, and one said nay, if I recall correctly. And the rest of them went along with this and agreed. And there we have the 17th Amendment, which changes the entire power structure of the Constitution. It alters the entire Constitution. The 17th Amendment destroys the balance of power. And I'm working on that one right now, so maybe next week we'll be talking about the 17th Amendment. Let's see, Law and Equity, I just finished that one, so I don't know which one we'll be picking up next week. But I'm really surprised on they were able to deceive all these people, so many people, to go along with this coup, ultimately, is what it is. Okay, number four, declare that the Organic Act of 1871 null and void because it created the United States Inc. that subverted the United States of America, thereby being an act of treason by the 42nd Congress and the traitorous bar. American Bar Association. Number five, unveil and acknowledge the concealed original 13th Amendment that prevents barristers, titled esquires, from holding an office of trust and thereby unable to practice their abominable civil law in our courts of law. All judges and lawyers must sever themselves from the bar immediately. And when you look at this one, you know, this 13th Amendment, hiding the 13th Amendment, which prevented bar attorneys from, you know, barristers from holding any position of trust, which means being a court officer is a position of trust, obviously. And it was through them that it was the Bar Association that totally destroyed our law. You know, we have a paper we've written on this, and I'm going to be working through that to update it, and we'll be adding it to this paper. Again, eventually we'll read through it. Declared the unratified 16th Amendment permitted by Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4, null and void because it defrauds the people. And that's unbelievable right there that they were able to get the 16th Amendment through. They were able to hide the 13th Amendment, just make it disappear. They just disappeared it, that's all, and took it out of the way, you know, the sight of the public. And then they pushed forward the 16th Amendment. It was never ratified, and yet it sits there. And so it tells you how corrupt our government is and how much of a change we really have to make. Nothing has changed. As a matter of fact, I think it's gotten worse, of course, since going back into the early 1900s. Number seven, declare that the rules of common law are the rules of the court for both law and equity as it was before 1938. And, it was 1938 when the rules of common law were abrogated. Up until that point, we didn't have the federal rules. We didn't have any other rules. We had the rules of common law. Number eight, declare that the people have a right to free access to the courts. Number nine, declare that the sheriff's law enforcer of the county. Declare that the county sheriff's office cannot be abolished. Declare that only the sheriff's coroner have the authority to call and the sheriff and the coroner have the authority to bring for, to call for and bring the case before a grand jury. Number 10, declare that the federal trial handbook tampers with the jury. Now, that book is available up on our website. And if you look up underneath the case we have against the federal judiciary, you'll be able to look at that and go through that book and see how much that they really laid out that the people don't get the option to decide the law. And they really put them and also they ask a lot of questions. There's a questionnaire also that we've done a paper on, and I think I'll add that into here, that they use in the federal courts to discover the individual, whether they're a conservative or a liberal or what they are, you know. So they know how to stack the juries. So that's exactly what this handbook does, is it tampers with the juries. Declare that only a fully informed common law juries are lawful. Declare that the common law grand jury handbook is to be distributed to all grand jurists. And that's the handbook that we wrote. Declare that only, number 12, declare that only a fully informed common law pettijuries are lawful. Declare that the common law pettijury handbook is to be distributed to all jurists. And again, we wrote that book also. Declare that the original, I guess we missed a number here, I'll have to work on that later, but this should be number 13 and then 14. Declare that the orientation of the jury must be by the people via jury administrators and not barrister lawyers. 13, which is 14, but I'll just read the numbers we have for right now. Declare the overturn of Ingle versus Vitale, and that's the one where they took the Bible out of the schools. I think that was in 1962. Or 63 maybe. 14, declare that non-judicial foreclosure is null and void because it violates the law and due process secured by the Amendment 5. Number 15, declaratory judgment ruling that there is no such thing as an Article 1 court, whereas Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9 vested Congress with the power to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court as defined in Article 3. 16, declare that habeas corpus is an unalienable right and must be heard within 3 days in compliance with the law. Most of the indictments we have in there, by the way, is for judges who refuse to hear habeas corpus, but probably about a third to a half of them, maybe. 18, a declaratory judgment ruling family courts violate due process protected by Amendment 5, and an administrative process must be administered by the people, unfettered by legislation and technical rules. So actually there was 19, and like I said, I have to go straighten that up. But anyway, those are the memorandums that we're putting together for this case. And like I said, most of them have already been written. I have to go through and perfect them, maybe update them, maybe add a few little things to them. And then we'll pin them together as we go forward. Let me shut this down for now. We'll put them up on the website as we continue forward. Putting this together. I don't think I'm going to be able to finish this before the end of the week, but it'll go out in the next few weeks. And again, money is also another thing. We're looking for anybody who can give some extra donations on this. We need probably around $2,000 to do the full filing. We may be able to cut some of that off by not putting it together. We're thinking of putting a book in there. And the book is The Law That Never Was. It's a two-volume book. It's quite a few pages, and that makes it quite thick, those two books alone. So we might cut that off, and that could reduce some of the price because it's less printing, less paper, less ink, and of course serving. I'd like to serve by sheriff, but I don't think that that's possible. We're going to have to probably serve by the U.S. mail. But again, so that's where all the servings are going to go through. We're not going to be paying any fee. We did pay a fee some years back for the federal case that we originally opened that we filed up in Northern District here, which is the place where we've been posting all of our papers and all of the different cases that have attached themselves to us up into the Northern District here, which is up in Albany here in New York. And so that number is the one we used, of course, to move over into the federal courts. And as we discussed, matter of fact, it was 2 weeks ago we read this, because remember now last week we spoke about having enforcement and talking a little bit about how Northcom is our enforcement and how they've enforced already some other issues before the Supreme Court, forcing them to rule the right way. They're in to hear that case that's coming up on January 6th, for instance, which is put out. It's called the Brunson versus Adams case, okay? And that particular case, we have the paperwork on that. Anybody wants to read through that, I believe it's all here. Here's the filing. This is an 18-page filing. The case itself, if I recall, is like about 115 or 120 pages, something like that, which I have a copy of that, but I don't think we have it up on the website. But this is the paperwork that was filed into the federal district court. One of the key things here is what forces the Supreme Court to hear it is the same thing that we've done. We've done it in a different way. Let me see if I can get back here. Let's go back to the welcome page. Let's go back there. This is a national emergency concerning high treason. And again, I'm still going back and forth whether we want to post the idea of using Rule 11 in here, which forces them to listen. They don't have a choice because they're calling a national emergency. Of course, they would have their clerks, I guess, read the case to see if that's so and then advise them of what's on the paper. And then, of course, I'm sure they would probably breeze through it. We should hope that they would. But nevertheless, they have to look at it. We're coming in from a different angle and a different way, and we're making it clear that our enforcement is right here, which is NORAD particularly. So anyway, we might be able to reduce some of the papers, but still, it's still going to cost close to a couple of thousand to get it in, and so hopefully people will donate and we'll be able to get it in. I mean, that may hold us back also. So hopefully we're looking for some donations for that. All right, with that, that's all I've got on what we want to share tonight. I guess we'll move to an open forum. There are no announcements, right, Terry? Your mic's off if you're talking.
Yeah, my mic was off. It took me a while to get there. No, there are no announcements that I know of.
All right. Well, it's kind of a holiday week, so we'd expect things to be a little slow anyway. All right, so we'll go to Q&A. If anybody's in the queue, just hit a *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're coming through an app on your phone or on your browser or whatever, there should be a button to get into the queue. All right, we'll take our first call. We only have a couple of people in the queue, so if anybody wants to get in there. Fred, I believe it is. Let's see. Yeah, Fred, what state you're from? You got the mic.
I'm in North Carolina.
Okay.
And my question concerns the status of state nationals.
Mm-hmm.
There is a movement which is apparently mostly fomented by David Strait, to have people claim their minor estate and change their political affiliation and domicile out of D.C. into one of the sovereign states of the Union states. And this presumably puts them back under common law jurisdiction. and they even go so far as to issue a passport, which the post office is now issuing, which basically says that you have diplomatic immunity from equity law.
Okay. Well, look, at anybody who, first of all, we've been defrauded. That's the big problem. And I'm familiar with David Strait's work. I've watched some of his videos. I've read a few things. I know Gerard looked deeply into them. And a lot of what he talks about is things that I have heard or learned from other, although he's much deeper than most people I've heard from. But in the past, when we first started out, going back quite a few years ago, probably 15 or maybe more years, I don't even remember, we kind of went through that process looking at these different things. And we come to realize that no matter what you do to try to change your status, they're not going to agree with you anyway. You think you're going to get into a court and you're going to say, I have status, and they're going to say, oh, goodness, we're going to have to now obey the law and prosecute ourselves or something, because we've destroyed this whole process. We've destroyed the court system. We've destroyed the entire political process. They've destroyed everything. And, so by just making these changes, people give up their licenses, their driver's licenses. They try to remove themselves from the IRS, maybe, and different things. They go and get it, like, as you mentioned, a passport, making them a national. But it doesn't change anything. If you find yourself in a court of law, and this is the problem, you wouldn't
be in a court of law.
How are you going to stay out of it? If they drag you into it, what are you going to do?
Well, first, they can't drag you.
Oh, yeah, they can. They can and they do. Oh, yes, they can and they do. We've got hundreds of cases to prove that. We've attached to our case right now. I don't know if you've been following along with what we've been doing and talking about, but here's the key and here's the problem. You see, it's the fraud that's the problem. And that's what we have to expose, is the fraud.
Which fraud are you referring to?
Well, some of the fraud we've been reading here, right here in this paper that we just looked at, the fraud of the fact that they changed the United States of America into the United States, Inc., the fact that they took the common law and they abrogated it through 1934 Rules Enabling Act, and they did the incorporation by the Organic Act of 1871. So we're very familiar with all those things, and we agree and understand how we can correct this. But look, these are our institutions. This is our governments. The problem isn't with the structure of our government. The problem is with the people who are controlling the government. That's the problem. That's the thing we have to deal with. Changing our structure and our thinking is wrong. We do know that they're moving into corporatism, which is Nazism. Every state has been incorporated. Almost every county, there are very few counties that haven't been, but almost every county is incorporated.
Right, okay, but the point is that if you were to claim your minor estate, mm-hmm. and move your domicile, your First Amendment right of association, out of the United States, Inc., basically sever your franchise, mm-hmm. you are now back as a Native American.
And they recognize it and they'll leave you alone?
Yes.
Oh, they are. They're not going. The IRS won't bother you. If you get arrested, you'll be able to make the statement that you're a national, you don't belong in here, and they're going to let you go? You think that that's what's going to happen? I can assure you that's not going to happen. But
well,
I'll tell you why.
First of all,
there's another way to do this.
As David Strait tells it, you have superior title, mm-hmm. So you have title to your rights. Rights are property.
We have titles that are right with through a Declaration of Independence, which is a covenant with God that no man can break. They can't break that. People can't even break that. The covenant's been made. The only one that could break that is God. God can point his angry finger down here and just dissolve it and say, he'll have no part with us no more because we're not obedient to his word. But, of course, we are his workmanship, and so we got everything backwards if our thinking is that way. We read our Bible, we find that we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. So, therefore, anything good of us or anything that we've come to an understanding or knowledge of concerning God and come to the realization of our salvation is only by the will of God that has happened, and by the mercy of God and the work that he has done. So no man can break that covenant. You know, it clearly, you know, I've been totally convinced that the city on the hill that the Bible speaks about, and the people, you know, who he wrote his word, you know, his word, his law into our hearts, really is focusing in on America, because the whole process of America was really bringing forth the Christianity. We were created under Christianity, and we're bringing forth Christianity. We're supposed to be the light of the world, and if we had Christian morals, and we were operating our courts with justice, true justice, then our government would be just, because they wouldn't be able to get away with what they're doing. The people would be just, because we would have government by consent, and that would be their desire, and we'd be much more moral, and we'd be much more reflective of truth and the nature of God as a nation to the rest of the world. But we're not. You know,
how many judges have resigned as a result of your writ of mandamus?
Oh, I don't know of any, but we have indicted quite a few of them. None of them has been executed yet, but it's been filed. They haven't said anything one way or the other about it. They just cover it up, and that's why we're bringing it before the United States Supreme Court. Were you here a couple of weeks ago when we read the paper?
Yeah, and I've read it on the website.
Okay. Well, that's the way to change things. Look, here's the thing, okay? You go back 5 years, six years ago, in my mind, I thought the only way, you know, and again, it's always but for the grace of God, there was going to be a true revolution, a true war in the streets. It was going to be serious, because they were going to come down after us, and they have total control of everything. And that is exactly where it was heading. Hillary was supposed to be the end game on this whole thing right after Obama, and we were supposed to go into war, and it was going to be all over with. All the people with one accord would have been, yeah, let's get together to save our nation, blah, blah. Meanwhile, all they're doing is putting themselves deeper into the process, because the whole war was a fake, just like the last couple of wars that we've had. Well, all the wars we've had, probably most wars, if not all.
All of our wars have been banker wars.
Correct. So
the banks are the enemy.
The thing is that things turned around with Trump, okay? Now, Trump went into office. He executed devolution. We know that the military is on – the military has been watching this for a long, long time, okay? This is not something new. They just didn't know how to go about fixing this problem. And they knew at some point in time, no matter what, they're going to have to make a move. Now, we weren't aware of that. I don't think we were. I mean, that tendency or thinking was in my mind to some degree, but I had no knowledge of that at that point in time, going back six or so years ago. But now we do know what's going on. So the point is this: we need to prepare to take our courts back. So we know, you know, as Trump says, you know, he wants to save this nation and give it back to the people. He said that numerous times. The best is yet to come. You're going to love what we're going to do and how this is going to end up. You know, he says you're going to be telling me, stop, we have enough liberty. Okay, so he's pushing towards the right point, okay?
Yeah.
So we have to be working here to take the courts back. We have the case here. Let me get to this case. And we haven't read this case. I don't plan on reading it, but if anybody wants to read it, we did talk a little bit about it and laid out some of the...
Well,
Hold on. I'm going to be silent in a minute. Brunson versus Adams, okay? This case is approaching it from the political side to remove over 387 or something like that, congressmen and senators. 300 and some odd congressmen and senators to be removed by this case, and they're going to hear this case. They're going to review this case on the 6th, okay?
Now, they're not actually going to review the case.
Well, they're going to be considering it on the 6th.
It hasn't been granted certiorari. Which means that the chicken judges are not going to agree to hear it, because they know if they rule to throw out 380 congresspeople that they'll all be dead by sundown.
Okay, well, look, you're missing the other point, and the other point is they've been visited by NORAD, and NORAD told them to hear the case. And they put it on the docket to receive the case on the 6th. They officially received that case on the 6th. Of course, it's not going to be settled on the 6th. I don't think anything big is going to happen on the 6th, except for that's what's on the docket or on the position for them to start their consideration of. That is the point, okay? NORAD has done that, because NORAD is military intelligence, and military of North America responsible for keeping our republic here on North America. They're the ones that are going to be pushing the enforcement. Now, we have to set forth what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance is setting forth the work and laying it out in order to bring our courts to order. So if we can bring our judicial, if we can bring our judicial process into order, and NORAD backs it up and enforces that, and we bring our political process back in order, the key to this whole thing, and this is the key, this is where we win or we lose. This is where we get our liberty or we don't, and that's up to the people. The people to step up and take control and have government by consent, which is what we teach here at National Liberty Alliance, how to have government by consent. That's our primary focus. And of
so
course,
we're back to creating committees of safety.
Of course. No other way. There is no other way. You have another way? We have the committee men that have stole the committees of safety's focus and of the people taking control, and they put party bosses in that. They statutorized the whole process. They say they're elected. They're not even elected anyway. That's a fraud anyway. We've proven that in the law. But they make believe that everybody's being elected as a committee man. You can get in. You can't come in. We'll let you in. Yeah, we'll let you in, but we're not going to let you in. See, that's run by party bosses, okay? Well, now we the committee, the true committee man is the people. They have to be running their own business. So in H County, free and independent, controlled by no one, not by any government agency, not by any party bosses, not by the law to say you can come in and you can't, not even by National Liberty Alliance. They're free and independent. We're just teaching them how to do it, and giving them all the necessary tools to do it, and be there as advisors and anytime they need help or advisement, and to try to connect the communications between county to county, because that's the only way. Only the people can save America. Only the people. Donald Trump cannot save America. He can get rid of these people, and he can bring us right back on the right track, but if the people don't step up to take control, who's going to fill that power void? Who's going to take control of the consent of government? If the people aren't doing it, who is going to do it? It's the people in the government themselves that'll take back control of that, and you get back to corruption. We'll just end up right back where we started from. Our children will start, or our children's children will start to have to do the same battle again all over. So until the people decide, and I don't think if it were ever to go that way, I think that would prove that the curse of God is upon us and not the blessings, and that we would lose our liberty, we will lose our republic, and we will be destroyed nation. We'll be no different than any other. But going and just making some changes on paper is not going to save you or anyone else. They don't care about your paper. When the Nazis come out and they put the boot on your head, there's nothing you're going to do about it. And you can say you're a national. They wouldn't care less. They'll torture you more because you're going to resist the death that they want to put upon you. You're not going to get anywhere with it. And I know that because I've been in court. For goodness, we've been in court a long time. You know, this main court paper that we filed, I think, is about 5 years ago, maybe. But we've been in the court for probably 12, 14 years. And we were in there with doing the same process that you were talking about, to some degree anyway, a while back in the beginning. And it got us nowhere. We learned real quick it doesn't mean anything to these people. Nothing in those courts. They don't care. You have to put them on the block, on the chopping block. And that's what we do, by pushing forward, demanding a 401.
Okay, presuming that you were summoned into a satanic ritual in front of a black-robed priest, yeah, pretending to be an equity court, yeah, and you made a special divine appearance and advised them that you were a natural man and not a franchise, and that thus equity law does not apply to you, and in fact, the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendments and Article 6 of the Constitution declares that you have a right to due process, and their only claim is, remember, equity deals only with fictional entities and contracts. And so you say, okay, show me the contract where I have committed myself to anything involving your corrupt corporation. Uh-huh. And they can't. And at that point, the judge is in bad behavior. And now you can file a writ.
At that point, depending on what kind of a case it is, and I know personally people who've done this, people who went to jail, people who died in jail, at least one person who died in jail, okay, I will tell you exactly what, at some point, if you're really making a big ruckus, they're going to say you're mentally disturbed and we're going to give you 6 months, or we're going to incarcerate you and send you. I know someone who went to the prison, the psych ward in the prison here down in New York City, in the Bronx. And they were set forth at a 6 month in the psych ward to be evaluated, then came back before the judge. So that's what they'll do to you. You think they're going to listen to any of this stuff? They're not going to listen to any of these things. It is true, they're at a point where they are primed from a certain point, and some of them know it, and most of them don't. You have to be up on the federal level for them to even possibly know what we're doing here and realize when you go before the courts with the paperwork that we're bringing in. Definitely the United States Supreme Court understands this, and I think most, if not all, federal judges understand this. So if you're going before a federal judge, and federal judges, generally speaking, don't really pursue cases against the people, although they do under USC 18 and 28 particularly. They make a defraud of the whole thing as if it applies to the people. If you have two or three guns and you pass through, from one state to another, all of a sudden you're marketing guns or something like that. They'll get you for, oh, they'll just make it up. They don't care.
Right.
It's not going to stop you. I'm telling you, the only way you're going to stop these people is just bring the truth into the court and lay it out. Now, what we're doing, we don't have any criminal charges against us. We're coming into the courts. They constantly kind of just throw us out. We've laid that out 2 weeks ago in our paper, how they threw out hundreds of cases, and everything we've done, they just ignored. They've covered up and said, that was the evidence. We've been doing this for 5 years, or 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been. We've been doing this for 4 or 5 years right now. We've had hundreds of cases, hundreds have been totally ignored. But, you know, we didn't expect anything different. We expected that. It's the end game that's the important thing, and that's where we're at. When we know that NORAD is ready to make a move, now it's time to file the papers in the court to prepare and set the case to move things forward very quickly to change our courts over. And we've got 20-some-odd points we just read, 20-some-odd points, okay, that have to be changed in our courts in order to bring us back to courts of justice. And once that is done, now all these judges will start to be obedient. And the ones that don't get the memo quick enough, believe me, they'll find themselves, as long as you understand, well, we know what we're doing at this point, they will find themselves very quickly before a federal judge dealing with a problem of denying due process, which is against the law and requires a jail sentence at this point, because it's treason and many, many other charges. And the big thing, you know, we wouldn't pursue jail necessarily, we'll let that go on its own, but the big thing is to get their pocketbooks, okay, because you want to go after them for damages. Well, we need to be restored. But the thing is, there is
the big fraud in the justice system would appear to be the retention fees, which says that the judges and prosecutors share in looting the SESTA KV trust, the public charitable trust assigned to your QSIP number.
Yeah, but that's not true.
Specifically for any conviction.
You're not going to bring that up in court. I want to tell you something. My first time in federal court was an IRS case. And I brought up the fact of the incorporation, the fact that they're not a government agency and the Federal Reserve. That judge came down on me so quick and so hard, and he said, you continue down. You know, we're not talking about this that way. We're not bringing that into my court. That's it. Otherwise, you know, I forget the words he said, but he put the fear of the judge, so to speak, of that power, that court, onto me to realize that if I continued any further, I was going to be put arrested. So if you think you're going to go in court and push this, you're not going to. But the only way we're going to be able to get around this, okay, is to do it, first of all, if you read through the papers, you know, the papers we have right now are really, really kind of damning on its face. A lot of our papers that have gone into the courts, particularly when we're fighting like the IRS or other issues, but it goes through the courts, and you know, you sort of signal the judge with the problem, and they realize that they have to do something because they don't want this stuff on the record. And so we've won some cases that way. I won an IRS case that way, and you know, and so the thing is, you're not going to get into a court and get out of it by bringing those positions. I mean, they're good positions. I'm not arguing that point. They're true. You know, I'm not arguing anything you've said, and not arguing anything that Straits teaches, because all of the SSA is absolutely on point. My research has shown me the same thing. I've learned this before from others, but I've researched it out, and it is true. All those things are true. But what isn't true is you're going to walk into a court, make some claims, and they're all going to step aside and give you a court of law. That's never going to happen. And there's no place else to get justice. You can't have a nation without a court. You can't have liberty without court. You can't be secured without a court, because government walks all over you, and you got to be able to take them to court to stop them, and you're not going to win. You know, our room right here.
Yeah, that's what common law grand juries are for, and they have been usurped too. Is there any effort to, of course, you have to have committees of safety and committeemen before you can have a common law grand jury?
No, not at all. No?
No,
no. We've already formed the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. That's already an issue and movement. We have formed in every state of this union a common law grand jury within that state. People have come together in their states collectively and initiated the creation of a common law grand jury of every state. And then every state came together, all 50, not 49, not 48, all 50. We have all 50 states that have initiated grand juries and then combined to come together as one unified United States common law grand jury in session for the sole purpose to deal with subversion against the United States of America by enemies foreign and domestic. That's the work that National Liberty Alliance has worked on for many years, and it finally got to that point.
Do we still have those state grand juries?
Well, the state grand juries have yielded all of the work towards one focus, and that is the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. We're in there for only one purpose, and then we're going to reseat the grand juries. If you listen to the papers that we just wrote, that was one of the things, is bring back the people to take control of the grand juries within every county. And we're building administrators for every four administrators and one paralegal, which is also administrator, so five actually altogether for each county throughout the nation, and those individuals would be responsible for orientating the juries. And that's one of the things we're pushing forward in the Supreme Court case. As a matter of fact, I updated some of that words on that issue, and I'm working on a memorandum on why and how and what it was like before and why it's right and just for the people to handle their own courts, because this is the people's court. It's not the court of a government. It's to be run by the people. And so we're working on that. Every committee of safety, and we wrote a handbook. You can go read our handbook. Every committee of safety is to establish different subcommittees. One of those subcommittees is a judiciary committee that deals with the juries within their counties, administrators. We are certifying. We have education systems set up right on the website here. You can go under educational, starts here, go to courses, and there's a course down there called Jury Administrator Accredited Course. That's the course you have to take in order to become a jurist. But you have to take all the courses first and then that course. You have to take
to
all
become a
course.
Jurist? Or to become a jury administrator?
An administrator. No. Juries are not to come into power and just start to become some kind of a power and just be there forever. Juries are in for a short period of time. They may sit for a couple of weeks. They may sit for a couple of months. But generally speaking, they keep rotating them. That's the way it's supposed to be. A trial jury, of course, comes in once, goes through the case, and they're out of there. But you can't have a jury. There's juries that claim to be common law. I know of some down in Florida. They've been around for many years. I know there's one out in California, many, many years. It's the same people, same jury foreman, same problem in government. Power is a problem to people. The only reason why the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury exists and will continue to exist and stay in session and in process is until we deal with the subversion problem. Once our courts have been free and we have courts of justice, which I foresee coming soon because of the military movement,
Is there a memo from NORAD?
Well, there's people who have been speaking about it. We do have a lot of information up here under our directory. Let's see, go into today's issues and you'll find information on that under devolution. And also there's another one. Let's see, Brunson and LA Open Forums. Devolution. Where's the other one?
I looked at Devolution previously.
There's another one here. News, QAnon News. That's where you'll find that information, particularly under there. But I think you'll also find under Devolution some information from that. But we have numerous people who speak on that issue that claim to have a connection, and they're in the right place. We see the work that a lot of the people are doing. Let's look at General Flynn. Okay, he's a big pusher in this whole process, a mover and a shaker. And Here's the bottom line, though, on this, and let's just think logically. Besides people talking about this and claiming to have first-hand knowledge or second-hand knowledge of this, it makes a lot of common sense of this because we have the United States Supreme Court to begin with. Out of nowhere, just over the summer, what did they do? They overturned Roe versus Wade. Who would ever think that? There was nothing in the news, nothing about it. They just did it. Why did they do it? Well, we hear because the same people tell us because NORAD paid them a visit. That's why they did it. Okay, the gun law recently, the decision by the United States Supreme Court some months back concerning that you can't make a law to prevent an individual from having a gun. You can't say they can't have one. Okay, well that ruling just took place, and again the word is out that that's only because NORAD has made the visit. The word now is out on the Brunson case here, Brunson versus Adams.
Adams. Okay?
That's the word is out that NORAD paid the visit and say you better listen to this case and do the right thing. Well, we're looking for them to do the same thing with our case. It makes all the sense in the world. Take back the political process from one side, that's the work that they're doing, to start to remove people, which is what Trump's doing also, and take back the judicial process on the other side. You see, the judicial process on the other side, which is what we're dealing with, there is no one out there at this point in time championing any kind of a position in the court to bring back a court of justice. We've went through 20-some-odd issues, 20 or 21 issues on our paper that we've laid out, okay? Every one of those things have to be repaired in order to become a court of justice again. It's not just returning the common law. There's a lot more than returning the common law into the courts. You have to have some punch to it. So there's a lot of things involved. And if you look at all the issues, there's a lot of more issues that I would like to have brought into this case. But then it's only these are issues that could be dealt with very quickly after these issues are dealt with, because once you have a court of justice, you can fix anything then, and we could do that very quickly. We've already got a lot of research and papers written that we can create the papers very quickly on any of these issues that we've been talking about for years. So we're at a point where we are ready to take back this nation, in my opinion, very strongly. I'd like to have done this quicker. But we've always had the feeling and the belief that, even when we have things in the way, roadblocks and so on and so forth, really, that's, in a sense, it's God's way of holding us back. Roadblocks also give us more knowledge because we have to learn to go around them, so we have to design a whole new plan and thinking about that problem, that roadblock. So all of that really gives us the school of hard knocks on the one hand, and ultimately, nothing's going to happen. This isn't God's timing until God's ready to move forward. So we're moving forward. My intentions have been to been here a lot quicker than we have been, but we didn't make it. We couldn't make it. Nothing, and we really wasn't ready. I can see that was clear. That's clearly. But now I see we are primed in such a way and in such a fashion that we can move in. And the thing is when this whole thing topples and all these people are arrested and all these seizures take place and the people are really taken care of because we've been injured. So for every injury, there must be a remedy. So we're going to receive a remedy, every individual. All of the trillions of dollars and all of the different businesses that will be seized and sold off, all that money will go back to the people because we've been damaged. We've been injured in war, ultimately. And not just us, the people of the world, ultimately, because this problem is not just in America. It's a worldwide thing. And that's why there's no simple way to do this. And the people... If the people would have been knowledgeable enough 20 years ago to realize what was going on and to organize in such a fashion to establish and take control in every county through committees of safety or whatever you want to call it, and to have government by consent and taking and forcing the people in that they've elected into office to do the right thing or remove them through recall or indict them if they're breaking the law, if they understood then it could have done that 20 years ago, then the people could have saved the nation without Trump and without a military. But they didn't, and they still don't have that knowledge, and that is the problem. They don't
I think the problem is that if you're going to have a republic, people must respect the covenant with God.
Right.
And the fraction of American or U.S. citizens or whatever you're going to call the people living on this continent, the fraction of those people who actually follow or even know God's law at this point seems minuscule. I have been trying to dredge up people for a committee of safety here in North Carolina, in Mecklenburg County, for some months now, and I have zero potential committeemen so
pretty
far.
Sad. It's pretty sad, isn't it?
It is pretty sad. Well, and in then, fact, you know, until we can capture the media, unless the NORAD plans to take control of all the social media sites, and I'm not looking for us to do that.
It tells you where the problem is, doesn't it? The problem relies in the people. I'll tell you right
yes.
now.
Okay, yes.
It's the people. Look, it's not necessarily that our fault, because to a sense we were born into this captivity. We were born into these situations and to believe. This whole thing is just, we're living in a matrix. We really are, in a sense. We're living in fiction. We're living in an imaginary world. Reality is not the way it's perceived when we look at the political and judicial realms of this nation. Okay, it's all a facade. Everything is a facade. The whole government is a facade. Okay, something else is going on behind the scenes, except and we're told it's this when in fact it's something else. It's a move to destroy us as a people. It's a move to kill off billions of people throughout the world. It's a move to take control of us 100% and get rid of this.
It's a move to kill God.
Well, look at it. If God became a man, they'd kill him. They already did, didn't they?
Yes, but you know, now they're trying to kill the actual concept of God.
Well, look at we already
the media
know.
Is helping with that.
Isaiah 14. I don't know the Bible, but if you go into read Isaiah 14, you discover what's going on, and there is a judgment that's coming upon the nation, the kingdom of Satan, and that ultimately is, in my opinion, Leviathan, which is the New World Order. That's the real control of this whole planet, this whole world. That's where Satan is doing his big work. That's where all the evil is taking place, and the blood sacrifices and killing of children and all the abuse and slavery throughout this whole world. It takes
all the things that caused God to break the covenant with the Israelites in 1000 B.C. and scatter them across the earth. They unchose God,
yeah,
went back to their satanic practices and their sexual deviancy and their sacrificing of children and animals and worshiping idols. And that's happening in America right now.
That was 3,000 years ago, or close to it. That was
Jews have been persecuted for 3,000 years because they broke the covenant.
Well,
America has reestablished the republic. Only the second time in the history, what recorded history we have of this particular cycle, and we reestablished that covenant in 1789, and Americans have forgotten that, and they've forgotten that they have a covenant with God,
oh,
they've forgotten God's law, and we're about to lose this republic too.
Actually, the covenant was created in 1776,
yes, you're right.
Beginning. But you know, when you go back, you know, we have to be careful on what we do know one thing. You know, we read in Romans, particularly, which is a book we're reading right now, as a matter of fact. God speaks of the Jews as being his natural, the natural branch, that they could receive the gospel quite quickly, quicker than the Gentiles, the non-believers. Although the non-believers, of course, the Gentiles. They've kind of came forward quickly, but also there was a Jewish movement back then, and there still is a Jewish movement, or whatever you want to call that, you know, a movement for those who believe in the Old Testament, and once they hear the gospel, they respond. But look, in both cases, whether it's Jew or Gentile, it's still only a remnant saved by grace, because most people in churches, they don't seem to really appear to be the workmanship of Christ. You know, we're created in Christ Jesus, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ
Jesus. Well, I'll say this about the Jews, because I have just spoken to some of them here recently, and they're busy telling us that they're going to recreate the covenant with God. But they don't understand that that's already been done. That's how America was founded.
Yeah, well, that's just another group of people. There are so many different splinters off of this and that.
Well, no, the problem with the Jews is that they have this tribal narcissistic tendency to presume that because they were once chosen by God, that they're still chosen, even though they broke the covenant.
I don't think you can collectively put them, because look, even Christians believe they're chosen by God. I don't, with that left alone on the side is one thing, but the thing is to classify the whole group of people that way would be not right. It would be an injustice to say that, I think. But
point is that the Jews still practice that. It is part of their, quote, religious or cult teachings. And one of the things that it does is says that it's okay to lie, cheat, steal, or murder Gentiles.
Well,
and
again,
that is a clear break of the Ninth Amendment, Commandment. Which tells you that the Jews, practicing whatever they claim their historical religion is, are anti-God.
All right, I allowed you to speak, and you can continue to speak, but you can't speak like that about a whole people, because I will silence you at some point, because we can't allow that to go off this platform, and I'd like to set a correction for that. You can't take a whole group of people and say they all think and believe this way. You just can't do it. You can't do that with Christians. You can't do it with the Jews. You can't do it with the Muslims. You can't do it with anyone. You know,
I can actually do that with the Christians, too.
I'm not finished, though. Our point of view, okay, is from a Christian point of view. And when we look at people like Muslims, let's take Muslims, because I don't think many of us have much experience with Muslim people. I've had very little experience, a couple of things, and you know, but we're biased to our thinking because we can only say or think about them what we've been told. Now, unless we've done some research, we're going to know something different. And that's the key, and that's the problem, because they have the ideas of the New World Order works to divide one people against another, black against white, Christian against Jew, Muslim against this one. They're constantly, that's how they succeeded in everything. We're too busy fighting each other. We're too busy trying to fight to get our unalienable rights on this or that, and denying other people of their rights because we don't like that. I mean, they've mastered this whole thing. And that's how they've taken us over. They set ourselves one against the other. We are a divided people. A people divided or a nation divided against itself will fall. It cannot stand. That's a principle in the Bible. God tells us himself it cannot stand. So,
and the reason it's divided is that people lie.
But true, Jew, Christian, it doesn't matter who you are.
No. I'm speaking of the people who have captured our government. All of them are liars, so
yeah,
you know that all of them are agents of Satan.
Yeah, their father is the chief of liars, and yeah, they are liars, of course. It's the whole thing. They deflect everything. If you listen to what's going on, what they're going after Trump for, it's exactly what they're guilty of. So look at that. They're only doing what they're claiming we're doing, and that's all
yes.
being exposed. That's all being exposed. But let's get back to where we really belong. Here's the bottom line. I know people are doing many different things. We help people do many different things, and some of those things they don't need to be doing because it's not going to be fixed until we get to the other side. And once we get to the other side, it'll be a slam dunk to fix it. These people who've lost their homes, they will get their homes back because they've stolen their homes without due process. And all they have to do is go back into the court and file the fact that they stole my home without due process. And with one hearing, they'll have their home back. Maybe they won't be able to get the very same home, but they'll be able to get compensated. And not only compensated for the value of the home, the compensation goes far beyond that. All of the destruction of the life of a family, of a people, all of the pain and suffering and the loss and hopelessness from time to time that those people had to go through, that's all injuries. It's not
just. How do you put a price on that?
Well, first of all, the kingdom of Satan, ultimately in this world, the New World Order, Leviathan, as spoken of in the Bible, that's the beast or the sea monster in the sea. The sea being the world, and so on. But in any event, all of that, they run. And I think I'm being far off the mark. They run. They own 90% of this world. They own all of the major corporations, all of the corporations that have corporations built inside. They got their fingers in all kinds of businesses. They got the Federal Reserve and other world banks that they have and operate. And ultimately, they have the fingers in all banks. They just have money coming in everywhere. They tax the people, a slave tax. They got money coming in that way. They got trillions and trillions of dollars. They got property. They got everything, all that stuff. Well, as Trump says over and over, he said numerous times, when you go and rob the diamond store and you get caught, you got to give the diamonds back. So who did they steal from? They didn't steal from our government. They stole from we the people.
No, the government is the stealers.
Well, of course. But the thing is that entity we call the government that we structured, and when it runs properly, it's not that the money goes to the government. What are their government going to do with the money? No, it's got to go to the people. The point is the people will be compensated. Okay, there is a paper floating around, and most recently, I'm kind of believing it's true. I've always kind of held off of claiming that there's some weight to that paper, but when I first saw it, I thought, well, hey, maybe this is true, because you know what? This is the only logical way. This is the same conclusions I've come up with, and other people I'm sure have come up with. It's the only natural way. The people must be compensated, okay? And again, that, again, was NORAD, supposedly, who had gone to the Congress to force them to sign a paper, which has still been under seal. And I'm trying to think of the name of that paper. If anybody could think of it, maybe you'll let me know, Terry, if you can think of it, or Eric. But the thing is that people
You're talking about NASERA?
NASERA, yes, NASERA. Very logical piece of paper. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, and even more than that is required. So when the government takes these people and puts them in jail, they seize their homes, their properties, all the properties that they have, all of the things they own, all the gold, all the silver, all the bank accounts, all the corporations, all of the other businesses underneath those corporations. Well, then they'll auction it off, okay, give it back to the people, and all of that seizure, all of that money's got to go somewhere. Where does it go? We don't have no debt to pay. They've been robbing us all this time. There's no debt to go to the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve's gone. There is no bank where it goes to. There's no government. No, it goes to the people. Everybody will be compensated hugely, and that will just blow up this economy in such a way we would recover so quickly, you know, just extremely quick, okay? So all that makes, of course, logical sense. There's no other way to get around it. These people who've lost their homes, okay, and really have been injured far and beyond what most people have been injured, well, they're going to get more compensation, okay? People who have went to jail unrighteously, spent time in jail, where habeas corpuses were denied, people who lost their homes through tax and foreclosures or mortgage foreclosures, they all have to be compensated. And all the pain that goes along with it, there's lots of suffering involved here. So the home is nothing to play on. Look, I don't think... You know, if you have a home that's worth $200,000, all the pain and the suffering that they put upon you and your family through that process is far more than many times more than $200,000. Okay, so all that has to be worked out. But anyway, getting back to what we're doing, we are, you know, just on a slow pace, moving along, been doing so for a long time. A lot of people have been gotten frustrated, and they just don't have the patience. And some have come, and some have gone. And some are paying attention and some are not. But in any event, nevertheless, we kept moving forward towards the mark, putting things together, coming to an understanding, forming our understanding of how things work, putting paperwork together. And now we've come to that point in time where we summarize it all. And that's what we're doing right now. And the whole purpose of that summarizing is to get before the United States Supreme Court, where they, and we do threaten them in the paper. If you read through the paper very clearly, they're enemies of the state if they don't step up for these things, because there's nothing to discuss. There's nothing to argue about these things. Anybody who doesn't see it is either a moron, and I can't believe any of these Supreme Court judges are morons, but either they're a moron or a traitor, one or the other, take your choice, and either one doesn't do. Either one, they have to be removed. An indictment is required, and we do threaten this paper with indictment against any judge, including them, that continues to go forward and deny the unalienable rights of the people that we have laid out, which brings us back to a court of justice. This is our court. It's not theirs. Okay? Now, again,
we have never gotten any rulings admitted by the justice system.
We've got a lot of rulings by these people. Their rulings has been ignoring our paperwork. Their rulings has been hiding the paperwork and removing the
paperwork.
At that point,
you could get a summary judgment, you know, for failure to respond.
Well, that's where we're at. That kind of idea is exactly where we're at. We have been doing this for 4 or 5 years. We have hundreds of cases. We have indictments we've laid out, over 150 indictments. We have all these things that we've done, and they have hidden them all. They have covered them up. They have ignored them. They have not responded. Silence, when they have a duty to speak, is fraud. That's a fact. It's a maxim of law. The United States Supreme Court has ruled on this on a few occasions. So you see, we knew.
Who's enforcing it?
Hold on, because this is the essence of what we're doing. We knew this for a long time. We didn't know how the end game was going to go and how we're going to write the end paper. We didn't know. There's a lot of things we didn't know on where we're going to go at the end. All we knew is we continue to learn and go forward and do what we have to do and make a case against them. And that is exactly what we did. We certified. We've placed in the courts. We've sent it up to the bar and to Sessions when he was in. All the paperwork we've been doing, we filed it everywhere. We served it on the United States Supreme Court. And if they've been ignoring it, that's their problem. We don't care. They can all ignore all they want. We always knew they were going to ignore it. We always knew that they were not going to do anything about it. We knew that. All we had knew, the reason why we were able to go forward with it and keep going and have the endurance to do it is because we knew that there was an end. You go back 5 years ago, Trump was already in office. We started to see what was going on. He'd been in a year already. Okay, we see what's going on. We see what's happening. We understood, or at least I did, that this was the end game for them. That's over for them. And Trump was making that move. And he and I had a lot of confidence in him for numerous reasons beyond what I see him politically, things I've seen before that. But the bottom line is we knew that, okay, we start our battle in building all the evidence. We've done that job, 5 years or 4 years of work, or however long we've been doing it, that's done. Now we're laying it before the feet of the United States Supreme Court, and we're saying to them, here's NORAD. They are our enforcement. Here's what you have to do. It's undeniable. There's no argument. It's finished. It's moot. It's done. It's not that it's moot, but it's done. The argument has already been completed back in 1776 and 1789 and 1792. That's when the argument ended, okay, because everything was then put on paper and it's finished. And that's what we're reinitiating. That's what we're resurrecting. That is who we are as a people. That's the republic. And that's what they have to rule for. And to refuse to rule that puts them in at the end of a short rope. And that's it, because it's the highest treason you can get to. And that's where the threat is. Now, the threat doesn't mean anything if everything is going along their way and everything is, well, we don't see no danger. We've been pulling the wool over these people's eyes for hundreds of years, perhaps thousands of years, and we're at the end game here, and we're about ready to take them over, and we don't see no danger of losing it, so we'll just ignore it. No, that's not where they're at right at this point in time. They know the game is over. Don't think that these people don't know. They know, and they are frightened. They know that something's coming down the pike. And we know the timing is right. Whether we can get this in before the end of the year, which is desirable, God may be saying, no, we're not ready for that. And so we still have some blocks in our way. We have things. It's okay. It's all right. But the time is coming. The time is here. We will get that paper in, and that'll be the final nail in the judicial process problem that we have. And again, the key thing is getting back a courts of record in every state court, and every town, county court, state court, and all the federal, and all 94 federal district courts. We have to get it back. Once we get it back, we win everything back. We can take the nation back through the courts. You know, when they said, let me have control of the nation's money and I don't care who he makes the law, that was a lie. That's not true. Maybe they think that they can buy everyone off at that point.
The corruption just with using money has been very effective.
Right, but if you have a just court and the people were doing their job, and that is their duty, by having government by consent, by paying attention and getting together once a month to say, hey, we got some problems here, let's deal with this, and let's many hands make light work. So you guys go deal with this problem, and you go deal with that problem. Come back, we'll talk about the results, and then we'll figure our next plan, and we'll go back, and we'll take our government back. We'll put them under control. If the people were busy doing that, we wouldn't have this problem. this problem wouldn't be non-existent, because we'd have a court where the people run with power, and we'd indict them, bring them into the courts, and then put forward whatever judgment is required to put forward upon them. And that's if they break the law, then, you know, we can do it that way. If they're just doing other things and not being obedient and fulfilling their oath, then we can remove them by recall. Anybody, we can pull anyone out of office in 90 days. All we have to do is get enough signatures, and it's done. Done. Calls for a whole new election. Done. End of the game.
Yeah, but until you control the media is not going to allow you to let those things become part of the public discussion, like
well,
the same way the courts just
bury
your paperwork.
If the people paid attention and did what they had to do, we wouldn't care what the media does, and at some point we'd get rid of the media, because they're really polluting the whole process, and they're really destroying the nation, because they're part of the conspiracy to destroy us. So if you control the courts, we can prove that. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. They've got so much evidence when you can lay out what they have said and then what the truth is alongside of it. It clearly creates the picture that they've been working to subvert this nation.
Oh yes. I mean, there's no question of that. But the equity courts are quick to assure you that no fact or law will be tried in this court.
Well, again, you know, when you say equity courts, if we have our common law courts back, an equity court is a common law court also, because an equity court is really, you know, when you look at equity, it's law made by man. They refer to it as positive law, okay, but it's man-made law. It's not God's law. It's man-made law. Now, the question is who makes that man-made law? You know, the theory, or the way it's supposed to be here in the United States, is the people have laid out 17 listings of what they can write the law about. Maybe there's a few more than that, because there's other things in the Constitution. But generally, in Article 1, Section 8, we lay out 17 powers for the legislators to write law on. And in that...
those laws only apply to fictional entities.
Correct. That's correct. And we need those laws. And we need to apply... Look, at I am so frustrated with businesses. I mean, they walk all over you. They're, you know, you do business with someone, you give them money, and you can't even get them on the phone. You can only talk to AI. I mean, it's insane. Total insanity.
Yes.
Total in frustration. And I've had situations where I'm doing business, and they say, well, you know, you got to use your smartphone and get... I said, I don't have a smartphone. I said, do you have an app for a computer? Oh, well, no, we don't have one for that. Well, why not? Why don't you? Are you cutting me out? You requiring me to do something? You want me to go out and spend $600 or $1,000 for a smartphone and participate in all that craziness out there? You can't.
Yeah, they can't require that. That's a First Amendment privilege.
But Congress is not
as long as everyone is considered a slave under this Sestakevi Trust, a public charitable trust, all the U.S. citizens are subject to man's law, because presumably there is some implied contract, though you had no part in it, and
were never given full disclosure. That's where the fraud is, and that's what we laid out. Look, this has been a good conversation. There are a few other people. We've been on quite some time. There are other people in the queue here. If you want to get back in, and we may be able to talk some more. If not, we can always talk another time. We're here every week. But it's a good conversation, and I think we got to move to some other people. I enjoyed it.
I understand that. I appreciate that, and I'm happy to yield the floor. This has been enlightening. I have a better view of both approaches, and you're right. Changing your status isn't going to make any difference as long as the criminals think they have complete control. Right. So the evolution has to go from the top down.
We don't want to discourage anyone from doing the work they're doing. Strait is doing good work in the sense that he's revealing. I think he's given some poor information on people believing that they could do something in that fashion. I presume Strait believes that. That's fine. And I did at one time myself, so I can understand that. But nevertheless, he's right on mark. I've seen, you know, everything that I've heard or seen by him is right on mark. But the solution, I think we have the solution. Look at We have to do what we got. We have a different way of looking at it, and our solution is really just taking our time and being at the right place at the right time, when the changeover could take place to bring our courts back as quick as possible. That's
yes, when I first looked at this situation, which was months ago, maybe August, I wrote to my 600 subscribers and said, basically, Straight Strategy is trying to save one person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Liberty Alliance solution is to try to save the Republic.
Correct.
So if you want to work on it, you should put 80% of your effort into trying to save the Republic.
You know, there's one thing that I think Strait is wrong on, or at least I think his position is this anyway, and many people, and I was in the same position myself, and that is this citizen thing. You know, when you're called a United States citizen, remember, we gave the legislators the authority to write the necessary law for citizenship to bring people into this nation. So it's up to the United States of America to work that out. It's not up to the states individually. You don't become a citizen through the state. You become a citizen through the federal government. But once you become a citizen through the federal government, then you're a citizen of the United States from the standpoint of you can go to any of the 50 states and live there, and at any given time you can lift up, cross the border, and you're a citizen in that state. You don't file no papers. You don't have to do nothing. You're one of the people. You have all the rights and whatever reason you moved into that state for, and that's that. So that's the key. You know, I'm a citizen of New York, and I don't have a problem with the word citizen because our founding fathers didn't have a problem with that. They used it
right.
Seven times.
They understand citizenship right. to be a little different than the Bar Association does.
All they're doing is stealing the words and giving it different meanings. That's
yes.
all they've done. They have done nothing that to be creative. There's nothing that backs them up in real words. If you look back to the roots of things, it just brings back the truth and lays it out, and they're frauds. It's that simple.
Yeah, there's no way to get around the truth of the Declaration and the Constitution.
And their fraud is so serious that it has moved beyond fraud, and it has moved to high treason, and the penalty of high treason is the end of a rope. And you know, I can't say I've heard this directly. I've heard this through other people, so I must have missed this on this. Maybe other people can confirm this. But I heard that Trump moved the death penalty back in, hanging back as part of the death penalty, back under the law, and that would be under the federal control, of course, military control ultimately. So if that's true, and I could imagine it is. There's a reason for that. It just makes things more powerful and what he's doing and what the military is doing and where we are anticipating to end up.
Yes, as you point out, the fraud is so widespread in society that it would take years to root it all out if you had to go for each criminal trial individually.
Oh, yeah.
But if you just publicly hang a few of the larger officials, I think the word gets out and the process speeds up quite a bit voluntarily.
Well, I think the trials are going to go a lot of trials at the same time. The military's got to be involved with most of the trials on a higher level. And, you know, then there, you look at, when you go look at the penalty for high treason or for treason in itself, it goes from as little as, 5 years in jail and a $10,000 fine all the way up to death. Okay. So, you know, there's degrees. Some people, you know, people do stupid things. People get suckered in. People get brainwashed. And it depends on how involved they are. So however that works, you know, we're not going to have to worry about that. Juries and tribunals are going to have to worry about that as the case is brought before them. Anyway, let me move on,
yep.
And we can talk again. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Okay, well,
yes, you're welcome, and I appreciate the Monday calls. That's why I'm a 4X subscriber.
Okay, thank you.
Keep up the good work, John.
Okay,
thanks.
Appreciate that. Okay. I'll see you later, Fred. Let's go to Ross. I think Ross is next. You got the mic, Ross. Go right ahead.
Hi. Should I create an administrative record yet or no?
Should you what?
Administrative record.
Administrative?
Yes, record. To create my own record. But that means you get your birth certificate, authenticate the birth certificate, and that gets to the, if you want to be a state citizen or not kind of thing.
Well, look, as far as a birth certificate, you know, I don't know what the answer is on that. I know they brought about birth certificates for the wrong reasons, of course. Even marriages, for instance, all for the wrong reasons. They want control. You know, people are going to figure out how to fix that problem. It used to be, go back 100, 150 years ago, and of course there was no computers or anything, and, people were born without anyone knowing about it here or there, and everything was recorded. A lot of people, most of it was recorded in Bibles, the lineage.
Yeah, it's a family Bible.
Recorded, right, family Bibles. And so those are the documents that a family might keep and pass down and have proof of whatever it is they're proving for. What value a birth certificate has and how it's used and so on, the people are going to have to think about that and discuss that and debate it, and we'll have to come up with a solution. I don't have a solution for that. You know, as far as marriage is concerned, going to get a marriage license, that's total absurdity. Look, at if you go get married, you get married in the church, there's documentation. The government doesn't need that documentation. If it's ever necessary, you can go to the church and get it. Plus, the family gets a copy of that documentation. So, and again, if you're going through a divorce or something, the last thing you want to do is go into these crazy courts that they've set up for this whole purpose. The whole thing is insane. And look, at they play the game of a contract, and it's their contract, and they're looking for a piece of the pie. And that's why they have the lawyers involved, taking half of whatever the people have that they're trying to argue and debate against. No, we just have to go back to a system of arbitration, and if arbitration doesn't work, then they can pull it right into a court of law and deal with it there. And each case is different on its own. There's not one set fix for anything, which is what they try to set up. So those things have to be worked out. One of the biggest problems is family court. I mean, that has to be totally annihilated, destroyed. It's so repugnant. It's the worst. It's the most evil. Evil thing in America, in my opinion, is the family court. There's no way, when a family has problems, the last place they need is to be in a court with a bunch of lawyers for each one of the individuals arguing and taking away all your liberties and your monies for years before you can even get them back. They control you and everything you do and everything you spend, and it just goes on and on and on. And they'll keep you there as long as they can, because as long as they can keep you there, making more money. Right. The bottom line, you have to go into arbitration and work things out through an arbiter and counseling. That's what has to be set up for families, not a courtroom. Okay. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, if that solution can't be made, then one of them could file over and move it into a court of law, which will bring the people to decide, which is where it belongs again. It doesn't belong in the hands of some political animal like a judge. So... But anyway, anything else, Ross?
We have to probably fix that. Basically, get rid of the family courts anyways. De-establish them.
Reestablish what?
De-establish the family courts.
Oh, yes. If you want to use that word, but however you want to use it, destroy.
The problem.
You got to destroy them is what we got to do. Get rid of them. They don't belong.
Because the problem, the state legislature is the one that established them.
The what? What established them?
The state legislature. Legislature.
Oh, the state legislatures established them? Well, yeah, and they've all filed suit the same way, all courts. That again shows one heck of a conspiracy, doesn't it? One of the things we've done here with our court case, we had hundreds of cases, and when you look at these cases, they're all over America, in all kinds of federal district courts and all kinds of state courts, and they're all doing the same thing. Okay? So they're applying civil law upon the people, which they had no power or authority to do. That's subversion. Now, they may have believed it was okay. There's still a penalty to be paid for that. But the people who masterminded it, the people who understand clearly and working diligently to continue that, they fall in a different category. And all that, again, has to be worked out by tribunals. And there's going to be a lot of tribunals going on for probably a couple of years. It'll all be recorded, it'll all be documented. I'm already convinced in hearing news that there's already court cases and tribunals and different things and deals being made behind the scene already taking place on different levels, a lot of it on the lower levels. But you know, and even a lot of people from big corporations resigning, okay, because of this, because of what's going on behind the scenes.
Yes, John.
Yeah.
I read an article online about an American state national, state citizen, federal citizen, and the citizen of the United States, the citizen of the United States. And the citizen of the United States is not guaranteed to have any of the Bill of Rights.
Here's the way it works, okay? When you become a citizen, if you're coming into this country and you become a citizen of the United States, you're a citizen of the state that your 2 feet are planted in. And when those 2 feet walk across a boundary line into another state, you become a citizen of that state. You know, whenever an action takes place in another state, if you had a situation in New Jersey and you live in New York and you sue someone in New Jersey, well, it's the New Jersey, it's what took place in a county out there. That's where the case has to be heard. That's where it has to be decided. But you're coming in just as strong as a citizen of New Jersey as anyone else's. You see, people got this whole thing wrong, and again, I was confused in the beginning too with certain things, and then you put one error on top of another error, or even one good things on top of errors. You know, it's a false foundation. It's going to eventually collapse because it's built upon an error, and you got to fix that error. And you got to be willing to fix that error. So as you go on and you learn, you have to repair and change your mind and come to a different conclusion and realize and say, okay, I was wrong there. This is the truth. And then bring in a good stone in opposed to one that's going to crumble on you and build in, figuratively, the structure you're building. But the bottom line, though, is that I lost my train of thought where I was going.
Yeah, John, out in that definition of like this state citizen, they have 2 steps. One is if you naturally born or you adopt that state as your state, it means you're a foreign citizen of the state instead of
I have never in my entire life seen a form that asks you if you're a citizen of New York. And I live in New York, so I would expect to see that. And any form you see, any government form or anything you see, are you a citizen of the United States? Yes or no? And there's nothing wrong. Look, they make a game out of this, but all you have to do is call the fraud on it and lay out the law or what the truth is about that. Look, they may try to make the decision, well, if you claim that you're a citizen of the United States and you're a citizen of the Inc. and you're falling under us and you got an agreement going on, well, look, at a contract, a one-sided contract is null and void to begin with in the first place. Anything hidden in a contract that makes the whole contract null and void. So, they're the ones that have a problem. If you're going to lay it out in truth and lay it out in a court of justice, they're the ones that have the problem that fall apart. We don't, okay? Being a citizen, they can try to claim the word, but the truth of the matter is a citizen will prove itself out and what it means and what it is here in the United States.
I think what happened is they defined the word for us.
They what?
They defined the word for us. The professional lawyers.
I don't see any way they can redefine it, though. If they try to define the word fraud in a different way, I don't see how they could. Fraud is fraud.
No, I was referring to about the citizenship status stuff.
Oh.
They assume means you're under their jurisdiction. They can control your actions for you.
Yeah, only because they hold the gun, so to speak. You know, that's the problem, is they got the power, they got the controls, and we don't. And if we get, the power goes back to the wheels of justice. You know, look, until the people rule the courts, and I mean literally rule the courts, you know, people who aren't paying attention may not really understand what I'm really saying here. No judges, no political animal can make any decision or do anything in that courtroom without the will of the people. That's called the jury. The jury needs to understand that power, understand that authority, and correction needs to be made if a judge is sitting there wearing his magistrate hat and all of a sudden puts on his judge hat. No, you can't do that. No, you don't. You can't make no judgment. There are no summary judgments in this courtroom. This district belongs to the people. The people need to choose the people, you know, they orientate the people that are coming in as jurists. We can't have political animals doing that. Clearly, we can't have barristers doing it, which are lawyers. Can't have them doing it. The people have to do that, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Not politically connected. And they have to be able to bring the jury in and orientate them in such a fashion to understand their powers and authorities, which could be done in one day. In the handbook we wrote does that on each case, whether it's a petit jury or a grand jury. Okay, so they're the ones that have to do it. So now the people, now prepared to go in to do their job, they're the ones that have to decide the facts. They're the ones that have to decide how the law is applied and what law is applied, if there ought to be any statutes applied against an individual in a case, for instance, because this is to do with commercial activities or whatever. They're the ones that have to make the decision on the law. They're the ones that have to make the decision on the facts. They're the ones that have to make the decision on how to restore the injured party, you know? That's their job. It's not the judge's job. And it's not the legislator's job to write, you know, this happens, you do that. That happens, you do this. So many years in jail, so much a fine between this, a fine that. You know, that's all BS. It has nothing to do with a court of law. And so the people have to have 100% control of their courts. That is the key, and that is the point. People have to realize that power.
Mm-hmm.
So
means ultimately, it's our job to fix it, not the elected officials. My stepfather says, "Oh, we need to elect the right people to fix this problem."
We need what?
We need to elect the right people into.
Oh, elect the right people. Well, yes. Look at. I don't know who remember who said this. You know, it was one of our founding fathers. It was probably Jefferson, but it could have been Franklin. It could have been Adams. Could have been numerous people. I'm not sure. And I'm pretty sure it was Jefferson, though, now that I'm thinking about it. But in any event, when the people fear the government, we have tyranny. When the government fears the people, we have liberty. And that is the key. The key is we can fill every office in America with a Hitler, every single office in America with a Hitler. And if people are doing their job from the grassroots level, watching what's going on, putting them in check when they go off the Constitution, or they do something unlawful, or they platform a position that is destructive to our Bill of Rights, or whatever the case may be, the people need to act upon it. And then you'll have, when the government, when an individual goes into office and the people on the grassroots level that can control the election of that person and control what goes on in that person makes the phone call to that congressman or whatever and says, "Hey, you're doing this, that, and the other thing, straighten up, stop it, or we're going to recall you. And if it's something to break the law, we're going to indict you. We're going to bring you for a potential indictment." You see, you can indict these people and have them removed immediately, or you can recall these people and have them removed in 90 days. And that's the fear that these people have to have. So you can have all bad. Now, of course, we do want to get good people. We do want to get statesmen. But we're going to get evil people in there anyway, because psychopaths or sociopaths, they're drawn to places of power. And so most of our politicians are probably, you know, sociopaths or psychopaths, you know, at least to some degree, a lot of them, in my opinion, anyway. But you can control that. The people can control that by exercising their right of government by consent. The problem is people aren't doing that. And the reason people aren't doing that is because they don't know how. And when they realize how, they don't have the control or whatever it is to force themselves to actually do what has to be done to take that control, which means they have to get an education. They have to spend time reading and learning and doing, and they're not willing to do that. And then a lot of people figure, well, you know what, I'll let the next guy do it. But I can tell you, the next guy's not doing it. We don't have enough people doing what needs to be done. We've been working at this for a long time. We have a lot of members, and still we don't have enough people doing what has to be done. I'm looking for that point in time when we have critical mass, and then we get enough people to do what has to be done. Okay, yes. So critical mass is our only salvation here. We only have about 10,400, I think, 10,400 some odd people as members.
Like me, the problem is I try to reach out, is a lot of people don't want to do it.
Yeah, and so do you look at it, if the people don't want to do it, then if I'll go back to Jefferson again, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect something that never was and never is going to be. Liberty is not free. It requires your attention. It requires someone to defend it, and to defend it on the grassroots level by putting these people in check, controlling them, and removing them from office when they don't do the right thing, or indicting them when they break the law. And if people aren't doing that in all 3,134 counties in America, then you can't have liberty, you can't have a government by consent, and you're not going to have your liberty. Don't depend on someone else to defend your liberty. It's up to you. It's up to the person that realizes and hears it and says and understands, oh, I see how it's done now, but I'm going to let the other guy do it. Well, look at, shame on you if that's your thinking, okay? Oh, well, I haven't got the time. I have a family. I have to work. Well, everybody has a family, and everybody has to work. We can all give up 2 or 3 hours a month because that's all it takes. You get, let's say, 4 hours a month. If a person doesn't think that liberty's worth giving up 4 hours of their life a month, then shame on them. Shame on them. Everyone should be involved in this. Everyone. But again, we get back to, we don't have government by majority. We have government by the majority that participates. We have a little over 10,000 people, as I mentioned. It's a very small fraction of those people are getting involved. And that's just the way it is, I guess. But when we hit critical mass, and we have 1 million people listening in, we will have enough people to do what has to be done, and they will pick up the job. And then when we bring a proper education back into our schools, which is part of the job of the committees of safety, you have to have an educational committee. You have to visit every school. You have to bring civics back into the class. It's up to the people to bring the Bible back in. No one can require that to be done. If you go back and read the first legislative work of the United States, signed by George Washington, and it made the Bible the centerpiece of our education, but they didn't require it to be in school. The people picked up on that, realized, yes, you're right, and they put it into the school, and it became a history book for them. It's used as a history book. It teaches morals. And after all, if you don't know who the king of the court is, then what do you know? What do you expect? The blessed thing upon that is you don't have to know that the king of the court to really sit in a place of judgment to judge another individual, because God already said at this time period that he placed his law into the heart. So even the Gentiles, even the non-believers know what's right and wrong, you know, and that's all that needs to be known is what's right and wrong and what needs to, boy, if that was done to me, you know, I deserve, you know, that's what's got to be discussed by the jury. They know. You don't have to teach them that, okay? What you have to teach and let them know, you don't have to listen to that judge, you know, that's what you got to teach the people. If you don't like the law, you can throw it out. That's what you like, they got to teach the people. If you think there were extenuating circumstances, well, that's up to the people. You see, until we start thinking like that and doing those things, we're never going to have a free nation. We're never going to have our full liberty, and we'll always be beat up. And anybody that doesn't know how to represent themselves in a court, believe me, when this whole thing's said and done, you're going to have a lot of lawyers that'll leave the Bar Association because they won't be able to practice law in court. Because of the 13th Amendment, they can't practice as a bar. They have to sever themselves. So, but they're coming in with the old mindset, okay? And they're going to be trying to make money because that's what they were taught to do. So they're going to make as much money as they can, and they'll defraud their clients. They do that already, you know. They don't care what, you know. The defraud was on one side working with the judge. Now it's just a matter of making my money. So, you know, if you don't know how to operate, you know, work things in the court yourself. And understand what your lawyer is doing if you choose to use a lawyer, then you know, you're going to be sold the Brooklyn Bridge. That's what you're going to be sold You're not going to be sold on a
yard.
On a what do you call it? Huh?
A yard. Yep.
You yield?
Mm-hmm.
Are you done, Ross?
Yes.
All right, thank you. We'll take our next person. Thanks, Ross. Okay, Asulu, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Good evening, John and NLA Nation. How y'all doing?
How you doing? Good to hear from you.
Great, great. Yeah, I got a couple questions, but, you know, I was just going to ask if, did I miss the call from NLA about the case that I joined with them?
Well, you know, we have talked quite a bit about it. I would suggest to go back. Go to the, if you missed the calls lately, you're going to want to go back and listen to some of them. I'm going through the names, and I'll be coming up with a list soon. There are a lot of names that are missing off of our case. And let me just go back. If you're watching the are you watching on the browser? Are you able to see what I'm doing on the desk?
Oh, no, I got the call. I'm on the call.
Okay, well, for other people to see, okay, in any event, on our case, writ mandamus, for instance, which is the emergency paper we have going in before the United States Supreme Court, and I'm just breezing through for those who are watching the desktop here. We've listed out all the names of all the people that we've recorded for our case, and it starts down at a page. You'll find this paper on the front page. You can click on it. Let me see how what it says. It says, read writ mandamus to the United States Supreme Court from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury for action concerning high treason. This is the third draft up there, but it's still not completed. To be filed hopefully before the end of December. I'm going to have to change that. But as we're looking at this, on page 9, it starts to list out all the names of all the individuals that have cases, all of the indictments for all the judges that we've put forth indictments on. And there are names missing from there. I do have a list. I just haven't had time to get to that part yet to update that list. I will be updating it. And then people need to be paying attention, because if I update it and they're not paying attention, and then they come back and say, well, my name's not there. Well, it's their fault, not mine. There's nothing I could do about that. Somehow we missed a case here or there to get it in. I don't know. Nevertheless, we still will be able to add cases on later anyway, because you know, really we're just being sort of a springboard for their case. And I've been thinking about how we're going to handle this, because you know, we don't have a whole group of lawyers working with us, and you know, there's not many people writing these papers, let's put it that way. And so we're going to have to write some papers in a generic fashion, and then people are going to have to pick up their case from there, and then we can give them advice when they go into the court if they have a problem and they say, well, what do I do? This is what we'll give them some advice for that, but we'll take it from there. But I don't think we're going to be any arguments. I think we'll be able to get a slam dunk. But each case has to be looked at individually too, you know. I mean, so evaluations has to be made. What was the losses? What was the damages? If you have a home, what was it valued at? If you can't get the home back for some reason or another, because, you know, whatever the case may be, I don't know, then you have to be compensated for a home that you feel is equal to that home, and then you still have to be compensated for the pain and suffering you went through. And there's a lot to be figured out, and that's going to require participation from the people whose cases they have listed here, okay? They can go hire a lawyer and give them a third. I wouldn't give any lawyer a third. But and we give 20% if I ask someone to assist me, because it'd be assisting. I wouldn't allow them to run my case. But you know, if they want to give up 25% or a third of what they're going to get to some lawyer to represent them for a couple hours in court and a couple of papers to be written, well, then that's what they'll do. Or you could take the other side, step up and take care of your own business, get the book, Court Access and the Common Law, and Government by Consent. But Court Access in the Common Law, you can get that book and learn what you need to do. We'll give you some, once you get the basic gist of that, we can give you thoughts and ideas and advice, and you can control your own case. And you can hire a lawyer by the hour just to help you get through the procedures maybe or whatever, you know. But you need to know how to write your own papers, and you need to make sure you approve whatever papers are put into the court, and we'll assist you to some degree in a generic form on that.
Okay, so just
keep attention over the next weeks and pay attention, and also take a look at the list, see if your name's on there, and we'll be looking for people to respond whose name's not on there as soon as we update it.
Okay.
And the other thing is to go to today's issues and come down to NLA Monday's open forum videos, click on that, and I would listen to at least the last three or four Monday nights, because we're dealing with this and have been dealing the last few weeks. Okay? All right.
I was on the last call and the call before. I try to get on there every Monday. But my one more question that, what is the best way to, make out a will, and how can I go about getting the documents? Do you guys have those?
Well, that's a good question. I know there are places online you can go and download kind of a framework of how to create a will, and they throw a lot of ideas on you, get this into it, that in it, and then it's a matter of properly writing it. I'll see if I can't find something that I could throw up as some kind of a framework for writing a will. I know this stuff. I might even have something on my computer. I might even have looked into that in the past. But if I can find something, I'll throw it up there on, and it would be under Education Starts Here and come down to the law, and then after that you'd click on Court Forms and Process, and this is where I would put it if I can pull something up. But and if anybody finds anything that's pretty good like that, sort of a, sort of a framework thing where you could work through and create a will off of something that's already kind of a form put together. But right here we have land patent, we have quo warrantos, demand for oaths and bonds, we have instructions on forms of traffic court, instructions and forms challenging jurisdictions, instructions and forms to move your case to the federal court for cause, instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus, instructions and form move a court for enforcement, notice and demands. And so this is a really, a rich page for legal information that people can have, and if we could get something, we'll post it up here on this page.
Well, we appreciate your hard work, and is there anything I can help with, any of the cases or anything else that
if you can volunteer some of your time, get a hold of Jan, send an email to Jan, J-A-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org, give him your name and phone number, and let them know you can volunteer a little bit of your time, and maybe if you have certain strong points, you can make mention of that. But everyone can help. So, and then we'll we need a lot of help. As a matter of fact, we need a lot of national leaders, and we've lost quite a few of them recently. They just decided not to continue on, and so we're really not really doing the work we need to be doing from the standpoint of national leaderships, So we have district leaders. We need district leaders for 10 different districts. We broke the United States up into 10 districts, and we really need about two or three or four in each one of those districts. But, starting off with one, and it's up to those people to really communicate with the committees of safety that are being initiated within their district, and to bring, connect with them, get a communications going, connecting them with other counties next nearby, and also getting them to come to the Monday night meetings and showing them where all the information is, and, just helping people and training people.
Yeah, I tried to search for Missouri's committee, safety, committee, but it seemed like a lot of them are not current. So,
right.
The members disconnected or,
Well, anybody gets a place where they get to a committee of safety and the phone number is not working, or the person doesn't respond, don't answer, or whatever, okay, just send a letter to Jan, J-A-N, at National Liberty Alliance. Let them know the state and the county, the name and the phone number, and Jan will look into it. And if it's a dead link, then we'll remove them, and this will at least have the opportunity for someone else to put their name up there. And meanwhile, someone could still put their name up there, because we can have more than one person on that, and put their phone number up there. And even if they feel that they haven't got the experience to do the job, but they want to get done what they can done, remember, no one person knows it all anyway. You know, many hands make hard work. It's a matter of just communicating, organizing, getting together on the phones, or maybe for coffee if you're local, from time to time as you discuss the ideas and look at the handbook and prepare. And then next thing you know, you got three people, and you got five people, and you got 10 people, and you say, well, maybe it's time now to have a sort of a seminar to call people together and lay it out and see if we can't get them in. And that'll be your first, maybe you can end up with 20 members by the end of that month or whatever. And now you're growing, and that's going to 20 members will eventually become 40 members, and 40 members will eventually become 80, and so on. It will grow as long as you continue your work. Because as you're doing your work, you're going to bump into people, and they're going to say, "Well, what are you guys really doing here?" And you come to the next meeting. You see, you'll grow. Okay, once you have activity, activity creates more activity. But if people are lumps on a log, then you create more lumps on a log and you don't go anywhere. So, but again, you don't have to have any knowledge at all other than the fact that you have a phone and the ability to talk to someone on a phone and have the desire to organize and work together with others. And you'll find people who will want to master it all. You'll find people who will really be involved in the educational side of things, on the judicial side of things, on the political side, and they'll work. It'll come together. It just will. So don't sweat that stuff. Just work on trying to get it started. So.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay.
God bless you guys.
Thank you. You too. We're way overboard, but I want to try to take the callers, but I want to keep it a little shorter because we still have another three people. So let's go to the next one. Thank you, Asula.
You're welcome.
Okay. Walt from New York, you got the mic.
This is for me?
Yep, it's for you.
Hey, hello, John. I'm sorry about the past.
Get up,
you gave me your, all right, okay. You gave me your physical address. I misplaced it, and I want to send you something. Could you give me your address again, please?
Sure. It would be 3979 Albany Post Road. Matter of fact, you can find it up here. Are you watching? Can you see me on the Internet here, my desktop?
I don't use any computers, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, 3979 Albany Post Road.
Yes.
Suite 107.
107, okay.
Hyde Park, New York.
How do you spell that?
H-Y-D-E.
Oh, Hyde Park, okay.
Hyde Park, P-A, two words, Hyde Park, New York, 12538.
All right, John, can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Okay, I don't want to say too much about it, but I have an actual case in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims.
Uh-huh.
And the judge, can I mention the judge's name or not?
Sure. Why not?
Margaret Sweeney and her clerks.
Mm-hmm.
I had a case, it was huge, involved Safeco Insurance Company and Bank of America, went all the way to the Supreme Court. They wouldn't take it. They didn't say it wasn't valid. I just went over there. And what they did over in the U.S. Federal District Court was, I was the plaintiff, and he made the United States of America the defendant, and I protested to the court. I objected.
You can't sue the United States of America, but go ahead.
Well, here's what happened. I protested that court. Says there's nothing wrong with the government of the United States of America. The people
Correct.
Working in the banks and the insurance companies.
That's the key. You got the key right there.
Wait to see what they did. That's why I want to send you these documents.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What they did was they changed the caption and everything, and I was still the plaintiff. Now wait to see what happens next. They changed the defendant to United States, and I didn't know what that meant back then. I said, wait a minute. And then on the next page, the judge gave her court decision. When I tell you what it is, it's now we got what you were saying tonight earlier. It's going to prove it with court documentation. The judge says I have no jurisdiction in this case because I'm not a court of the United States. She actually says it. Now, here's the problem, John.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what government it is. It's the people working in the government or that phony government right there. But why does she change the defendant from the United States of America to the United States? I'm going to tell you why. Because I went into court as a bounty hunter under the 14th Amendment, catching serious criminal activity involving banks and insurance companies and everything, and involving government agencies. So what she did was, she knew when I presented my evidence and everything, she knew it was correct. And they would have to use CEDAW, what the 14th Amendment says. If you turn these people in, they'll pay you a bounty, the government, of the true government. So to get out of that jurisdiction, she turned it over to the corrupt government that she knows exists, and then she tells me she has no jurisdiction in that government.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you want to sue, and I've learned this a while ago now, because I was spinning my wheels, suing all the wrong entities, until I've come to realize that, first of all, there's nothing wrong with our government structure and most of our legislation. The problem, of course, is with the people that are controlling that. So you have to go after the people. I wrote, I've been up against the IRS before, and on numerous occasions I was thrown out of court. The last time I was in, well, actually, the time before the last time I was in court, in different cases, I won the case, and then the last time I went in, you know, it's sort of still in limbo because they keep coming back out after you and they do different things. But in any event, I just wrote a case on behalf of another individual who was suing the United States. He was suing actually who was he suing? He was suing the IRS directly, and that case is sitting in the federal courts, but they're already making moves to throw it out. And I told them, look, if you really want to win the case, you have to go after the individuals. You're not going to be able to sue the IRS. You have to go after the commissioner. You have to go after the agent. You have to go after the banks. You have to go after, you know, whoever is taking your money without a due process, Social Security, and the banks. And that's who you have to sue. So I wrote some papers for that. And once this case is filed, I'm going to redact the paper, and I'll post it up on our page for people to see on how you can go in after these people and deal with them. It's kind of late in the season because I think in the next few months the IRS is not going to be there anymore. The Federal Reserve is going to be taken down, and it's an unlawful bank. There's no authority for any of it. The 16th Amendment doesn't even say what it really says. The United States Supreme Court says so. But beyond that, it also wasn't ratified. So there's so many different ways to approach this. So the last thing you want to do is to sue the government itself. Okay, you want to sue the individuals that, because the government in itself is not doing anything wrong. Okay, it's the people running the government that are doing the evil. So, but I'll take a look at your case and I'll breeze through it. I'm not going to be able, how many pages is it?
Can I just finish real quick? I'll sum what I can to you.
Sure.
What happened was, I wasn't trying to sue the government, either one. I was going after individuals.
Oh.
I told them that.
Well, I'm interested in seeing that then. Yeah, I understand what you're saying now.
She got out of the jurisdiction by saying she's not a court of the United States. So what I did was,
let me look at your papers, talk to me in a couple of weeks, and I'll give you some thoughts and maybe direct you some places where you could take some forms and work through. Matter of fact, I'll tell you right now, on this page, education starts here. You come down to law, and then some other tabs open up, and then you come over to court forms and process. So it's a three-step system to get to this page. The page is actually nationallibertyalliance.org/court-forms. Now, you have to be a premium member to see that page, and a premium member is someone who's donating $5 a month or more. But on this page, you can find the solution to your problem, and it's called a writ quo warranto. And so take a look at that. Get the paper to me. I'll breeze through it a little bit, and then you can quiz me a couple of weeks down the road, and I'll give you some thoughts and ideas and some strategy exercising some of those papers.
John, can I just have 1 minute, please, left?
Sure.
Okay, that's not the issue. The issue is I called the court eventually, and I told the clerk about, I may ask the judge to to reconsider this matter. What is the government that I go against? She says that it didn't say that, that there's a U.S. and then it's changed to USA, changed to the United States. She looked it up on the computer, and she comes back on the phone. She goes, oh, my God, I can't believe this ever happened. You're going to have to call the top clerk tomorrow. So I talked to the top clerk the next day, the same reaction. You're going to have to write a letter to our top attorney, our attorney. I sent a letter. They sent it back to me filed, so I got it, proved they got it. And his top attorney says, I can't give you any advice on the judge's decision. I wasn't asking, John, advice on the judge's decision on the matter. I was asking who is going to be the defendant. So what she says is, oh, they said, go see an attorney. So what this means, John, is I showed there by that documentation there are two governments are fighting each other, and there's one way we can deal with this crooked United States corporation. It's the deadly weapon there is. It's the sword of the spirit, the scriptures. John, that's what we do. We go in there representing the kingdom of the Almighty God, Yahweh, on earth, representing his government, and you go after these crooked people, the individuals, and you tell them what Yahweh's going to do to them, and they get scared to death.
Well, that is the key. It's a common law procedure, a common law court that you try to open, and the king of that court, of course, is the God of the Bible. And that's a good perspective or a good strategy to work forward towards. But remember, they're going to deflect everything they can. They're going to misunderstand, even though they may understand exactly, they'll write things back as if they misunderstand what you're talking about. They're not going to give you any solutions. They're not going to give you any real answers. They're not going to help you in any way. But anyway, look, I got a couple other people.
All right, good night, John.
Let's talk a couple of weeks from now after I can review your papers.
Okay, good night, sir.
But I'm not going to be able to really read through everything.
Okay, fine, so, thank you.
All right. We got two more callers. I'd like to try to get them both in. So let's go to the next person. We got John. You got the mic. What state you're from?
Hey, John. I am here in Cleveland County, Oklahoma.
How you doing, John?
Pretty good, sir. Listen, I'll make it short because I know it's after 10 here, and we've been on more than 2 hours, so let me make it quick. One of the gentlemen before Ross was speaking about your administrative record and things of that nature, and you're probably aware of it as well, and I've been working on it myself, but my vision, what I see with National Liberty Alliance is you're providing a lot of tools and the direction or the roadmap to actually pull the citizenry, the people together, and educate them. And I think we'll see a big growth within the next year or two with this. I've been working with Ed Strain a little bit, and I see real good things happening because it's a different concept besides trying to protect yourself, because whenever we go into court or we have problems or we see bad things happening, you're by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to educating the people and getting the juries together and the formation of your local county government people that are educated and supporting you not only with their physical presence and their ideas, but also with their money, this is a power that you can't do by yourself. Okay?
That's right.
God called us all to commune together, fellowship together, learn together. He wants to communicate with us individually, but we, don't forsake your brethren, the gathering of the saints, because there's wisdom found where two minds meet. A third mind is actually created, because I will say something that will spawn an idea in your brain you would have never thought of. So I just really feel that these committees of safety are they're a must, and I can see things being very doable. I see the slow growth. I've been, looking, watching the website a little bit, but I of course have gone down different rabbit trails with it whenever it came to self-administration and creating my personal administrative record to defend myself against the court to rebut their presumptions and assumptions. So I'm not going to stop that. But at the same token, we have to educate our brothers and sisters, and we really need to educate the youngsters growing up really before they get out of high school. Mm-hmm. You
know. That is the key. That's the job of the educational committee. And again, we're going to be a lot of writing. I'm going to do a lot of writing on these different issues to put up there. People need to think about these things and mm-hmm. talk about them and how they want to go about dealing with it. And one of the first issues I put up, matter of fact, I created a page for this under today's issues. Mm-hmm. And if you come under today's issues and you come down to, let's see where I put this. I know it's under this page. Let's see, Monday, Evolution, Health, Great Awakening, Interviews. Today's, no, I don't think it's today's issues, no. Where did I put it?
I don't know, but for everybody, they need to do exactly
I think I put it under the start of Committee of Safety. I'm sorry. That's where I put it. Issues for Committees of Safety to consider. That page there. I have a lot to say about things that need to be looked at, and I'm sure other people do. So anybody that has an idea or something they want to write a paper, concerning a position and a thought and a problem and how we might be able to solve it, you can send that copy of that paper to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll go through it and discuss it and post it. But right now, some of the position papers I have here is a case for the Bible in the school.
Absolutely.
On that case for the Bible in the school, it doesn't give the solution on how to do it. So I'm going to write another paper that'll be a second to this. I'll maybe call a case for the Bible in school 2 or something, the process or something. Okay, whatever I think of. But the point is how people can do it. That's what people need to know. They need to know the problem and an idea on how they can do it. Someone else will maybe come with a different idea, so maybe 2 or 3 ideas, and then people have, what's better or whatever. They can choose for themselves. But the thing is we have to start talking about it. We have to start thinking about it. We have to find solutions for it. We have to define the problem. I mean, friends, AI is a major problem for when doing business, okay? A major, major problem because they're hiding behind AI. You never get to speak to people. It's insane. I have this problem with my publisher, believe it or not. It's like impossible to talk with them, and yet they're making money off of me. But in any event,
we'll get past it. Now, hang on. You went to start a committee of safety, and then you went down to what issues?
Yeah, you highlight start of the Committee of Safety and come down, almost down to the end, about 6 or 7 from the bottom. It says issues for the Committee of Safety, the COS.
Okay. There we go. I just opened it up. I just wanted to do it myself. Oh,
politics was supposed to be rational, okay? I got a paper on that. Republican into a democracy, then a monarchy. 10-step blueprint to shut down a democracy. Now, I want to really put more papers up there that focuses in, we have problems that Congress is not doing their job with. Okay, for instance, if you're doing business with somebody, no matter what the business is, okay, if they're charging you money, they need to answer their phones. They can't say go get a smartphone. They can't say go get an app. They can't say go to the website and talk to AI, because you're talking to AI all day long is what you're doing. Just like being on social media, a lot of people are really talking to AI. So Congress needs to do their job. That's their purpose. That's what we hired them for. And so
Absolutely.
When we get to the other side, we need to establish what their job is and make them start fixing some of these problems.
Until the meantime, we need to build the county committees of safety. So
right.
I'm going to go ahead
and think about solutions and start talking about solutions.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No, I'm going to be on another meeting on Wednesday. So,
if you want, we're looking, and this is open to anybody. We definitely need more district coordinators. Again, like I said, we need at least 10, but we really need 30, 40, 50, or 60 of them, as many as we can get. So as we grow, we'll need more. We can live with one per district. So if anybody wants to volunteer for that job, as a matter of fact, at some point, we're looking for money, okay, serious money. I just wrote a letter to someone and sent them some information that's someone who's filthy rich. And hopefully they're going to look at our site, look at what I've written to them, what I've sent to them, consider what we're doing, and consider supporting us. And so if we can get some good money, real serious money, then we can start paying people to doing these jobs. But then we would require, in certain cases, full-time work, or some people might want to do part-time work, and we'll work that out. But they'll have to do the job then, really get the
right.
job.
Let me ask you something directly. Yeah. How much would it impact the ability for people or for us to attract donations if people, if it were to be tax deductible for people that are paying taxes?
Everything we offer is tax deductible in the sense that taxes are illegal. So, I mean, you know, we're not listed in any way that the IRS would accept this, but the IRS is going to be around here.
Right, but what I'm talking about is people, when they give you money, if they donate money to a church, they, in their minds, they can write it off. Okay,
right.
501(c), all right. So you can write it off.
When you write that off and you put that information in, and at the IRS, I don't know how much they look at those things, but I presume to some degree they do. And they say, whoa, National Liberty Alliance, they're not listed with a 501(c) or anything of that nature.
Yeah, but you don't have to be.
But we're not. So, I mean, they can write off whatever they want, but, you know, that's their business. But we don't have anything to give them. We don't participate with any of those things at all. If we get some real big money, then we will probably hire some kind of a firm to deal with that money, so that it's distributed and dealt with in a proper way, and that kind of a thing would then be open in a financial way to the people to see how that money is being spent. And most of it would probably be spent in salaries, because that's what we need. We need probably at least maybe 12 to 15 people, maybe more, maybe 20 people hired, full-time, mostly full-time, some of them would be part-time, to really run a real serious program here. Right now, we don't have anyone getting paid. I mean, I'm compensated to a little degree, but actually not so much anymore, because all the money I do get in goes into NLA. I mean, I get money from books, goes into NLA, but my bills are paid, so
It's just it's a burden of love, and it's something that needs to come through to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is what is needed. You know,
At some point in time, I should hope my books really take off, and I should hope I can keep the money myself. I will always look at. I got another business that's ready to blow out, but there's not going to be any really serious money for maybe 12 months. But at that point, at some point, I would be able to, put up the money for everything at that point, because we're talking some serious money. But that's a business investment I've worked on for many, many years, and it's about ready to. It's going on to the market this year, so.
Well, I think everything will come to pass here very soon. So, and we'll be talking some more at some point in the near future. So
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and yield for the time being.
And again, if you want to volunteer as a district leader, just drop a line to Jan. Or let Ed know, because Ed's...
John, I already am.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
well, we have a meeting coming up.
I'm already participating.
You know that, right?
I'm doing what I can to lay the foundations here in the county. And, you know, then I believe in District 6, I have, you know, like six other states. So,
all right. Anybody else that wants to jump in, you know, and help us, by all means. We do have a district leader meeting coming up this Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Here in this room. That's 8:30 Eastern time. So anybody that's interested in, or at least interested in considering the position, and other positions, we have other positions we need help with. Be at the meeting at 8:30 on Wednesday.
Hey, why don't you? Can you pull up on the screen real quick how they can go about connecting with, let's say, Ed Strain for the time being?
Well, Ed, I don't know if Ed's name is up there at this point. Let me see. Name should be up on the directory.
No,
if you come under the directory and come down to district court, okay, then you'll see the 10 districts. And I know Ed's name in here somewhere probably.
Well, yeah, scroll on down. He'd be on the national level, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, this is it right here. This is the district coordinators right here. Well, let's see on the national leadership. Well,
Ed is in there because he's over one of the districts as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. And I don't know why I'm not seeing him. John, Gary, Dan. I don't know. Maybe this page needs updating. We're going to figure that out on our meeting. That's something, Ed, I know Ed's listening in. Ed, we're going to have to talk about updating this paper, this page, and find out who's still with us, who's not, and then of course the people that might volunteer to assist coming this Wednesday, that'd be good. And again, these positions here, the district coordinators, at least one for each district will, if and when, I do believe we'll get the money eventually from someone somewhere. But once we have real funding, there's 10 positions that will be full-time. Maybe more. Okay, I don't know. But there are other national leadership positions, you know, that need to be filled. I need to open an office somewhere and have at least one paralegal working with me as a paralegal secretary, and to get a lot of work done and get Gerard on board on a full-time basis, too. So we'd run.
I want to edify you in saying that I think you guys have done a fantastic job. I mean, there is a boatload of information, even when it comes to being part of the press, you know, and acquiring those, you know, press passes and things of that nature. It's just there is something here that is happening that is really, really strong and good. So I'm going to go ahead and yield.
Well, you just mentioned something that we would need someone to fill. We had spoke about it. We haven't spoke about it in a while, but so sort of a press secretary to handle and deal with the press. You know, questions and stuff, and I need someone to help me find interviews. You know, look at there's lots of podcasts out there. Some of these podcasts and some of these places have a million, and some even many millions of hits on their sites. You know, and I need to get interviewed by these people, because then there's a big exposure. If I can be exposed to millions of people and lay out the program, I think that will drive us to critical mass, because there's this, you know, there's a ratio, and I don't know what that ratio is, but let's say, you know, it's maybe one out of 100 or something, 1% of the people, probably less, maybe 0.5% of the people that hear the message will get involved. But whatever that ratio is, if I can get my message out to a million or a couple of million people, that would bring us critical mass. That would really explode what we're doing. That would make us succeed. So that's what we're heading for.
I have a vision for that, John, but now's not the place to discuss it.
Okay.
Okay. So at some point in the near future, maybe Wednesday, I don't know. Who knows?
Absolutely. Well, you know, if we can get together personally, you, Ed, Jan, and myself, and maybe Gerard and Terry, and maybe a few others, and listen in and talk about it, whatever
Fantastic.
It is. Just let Jan know, or let Ed know, and they'll set it up.
Well, I'll be there on Wednesday.
Okay.
So,
all right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our last person. We're really running late, but spend a few minutes. Next question.
I'm lawyer is here.
Linda, go right ahead.
Good evening. How are you? Well, yep, it's still
evening. Hang on 1 second. Terry, did you say something? Terry?
Yes, I did. Brent is here. Brent's in the room.
Oh, Brent is here? Brent is here?
Yes.
All right, well, we're at the end, so, I mean, if he wants to pick up. Brent, do you want to pick up the mic for the next half hour or run a 3-hour show? Is he able to unmute himself? Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yeah, he's host, so he should be able to.
Right. Brent, do you want to take the mic for the next half hour? Well, maybe he's away from the computer. All right, well, you know, I'll give
him...
No,
I'm here. I'm here, John.
You're here? Okay. Yeah, it's been a while
since I was sitting there listening.
See ya. So...
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I want to check in and listen, and I'll talk a little if you give me a breather.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll pass the mic in a minute. Let me just talk with Linda, and then you can take the rest of the time up till midnight, and then then Terry can close down. But Linda, you got the mic. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, and I hope you had a Merry Christmas.
You too. I hope so too. Also, thank you.
Yes, we did. I had a question. I just found your site like a week or two ago and was looking through it. You said that one of your goals is to set up citizen or grand juries in each state, in each county, in each state, correct?
Yeah, what we're looking to do is set up administrators for each jury, you know.
So that the juries can be put in place eventually.
Well, someone to orientate them is the key. Right now, bar attorneys orientate them, okay?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
And so we don't want any political animals. We don't want people working for the government to do that. We, the people, need to do that. And right. We do have a plan, you know, with how to deal with the money problem, because people have to be salaried on this. It's a full-time job. But we, the people, have to orientate the juries. We have to have that one day to let them know their power and authority. And we wrote two books for that. One is a grand jury handbook, and the other is a petit jury handbook. You can find that under the tab Start a Committee of Safety. And if you come down to Handbooks and Tools,
yes,
you'll find those books there. And this would be the orientation plan ultimately for the grand jury. We are putting together PowerPoints. We're putting together maybe a couple of short videos. And every jurist should be handed a handbook. But you have a petit jury handbook. You click on that button, and here is the handbook comes up. It's a common law petit jury handbook. And this is what they would be taught. Okay, this gives them power and authority, and they understand that they, you know, what authority they act by, and then we have one for the grand jury also. So
in doing this, because I'm the first guy that called in from North Carolina. I'm an American state national, mm-hmm. who are also looking at setting up citizen grand juries. And then I found there's another group.
Hold on. We're not setting up grand juries. We're not setting up definitely not citizen grand juries. It would be just common law grand juries or trial juries. You know, what we're looking for is to set the administration. So there would be four people in every county that would be jury administrators. Okay. And then there would be a paralegal who would also be a jury administrator. So there actually would be five. And those individuals would be responsible for when a jury is being called for. They would be the people that would meet the jury, orientate the jury, advise the jury, and then assist the jury on the writing of the papers at the end of a case if it's a petit jury. And the same thing with the grand jury also. And so that's what we're doing. Juries have to come and go. You can't get a jury and establish a jury and just put.
No, I know that. I listened to what you said to the first guy. Yeah. There's another group out there. Are you? You're not as with the assemblies. Is that correct? I think they're called nationalassemblies.net.
I understand, that is a group that's run by Anna von Ritz, or using Anna von Ritz's work.
No, they're not. That's a different group.
Okay.
They're very anti David Strait, and it says right in there, if you've changed your status, or you're, you know, with David Strait or Anna von Ritz, we don't want you, is basically what it says.
Well, people change their status, they're welcome here, because look at, I've been fooled myself, and they just need to understand whatever they can do. And to go do a lot of these things, injure yourself, you know, give up your license, try to get rid of your Social Security number, you know, get this.
It's changed a little since then. But understanding that wasn't really why I was, the question I was having was, I was trying to figure out who's doing what in each state, because it sounded like, you know, you've got your Anna von Ritz people, they're doing grand juries, they're moving in that direction, but changing the state to a republic. Then you've got your assemblies.net, they're doing it. And then, you know, it sounds like you guys want to also set that up where it's possible. And then David Strait's group and the people following his methods are looking at the same process.
So
it just seemed like a whole bunch of people are doing the same exact or similar type things.
Similar is the key. Look, we are National Liberty Alliance, so we'll work.
I know that.
We'll work with anyone that is compatible with us. And I've looked at some of these things, maybe not necessarily the one you're bringing up, and I find that they're not necessarily compatible. Or
no.
Maybe they can make some changes here or there that we can be compatible, you know. But the ones that I have looked at, they're doing different than what we're doing. We've done a lot of research. I've been researching this for 13, 14 years now. And I've gone through the School of Hard Knocks to figure these things out. And we've
Sounds
been
like
corrected
it.
From time to time, you know, say, okay, we shouldn't have gone down that road. You know, let's change our thinking or direction or whatever. You know, we have to get correction as we go. It's just the way of life. And we have courses. We have a tremendous amount of education.
No, you have quite a bit of educational stuff there. I was going through it. And to be honest,
yeah.
Everything on your site that I saw is pretty much right in line with the folks that are changing their status and becoming state nationals. It's all, you talk the same talk, we use the same words. You have, you know, a lot of your educational information is the stuff that we pass around between ourselves to educate ourselves. So
well,
it's like we're both going in the same direction. It's just the status thing's different.
I'm willing very much so to have communications with these people if you know them to settle up or if anybody knows that. And
well, that's good. As we grow, rather than, you know, bumping elbows, we could rub elbows.
Look, we're working with We the People organization with Robert Schultz. I just had a meeting with him a couple of weeks ago. It was a very fruitful meeting. We've really accomplished a lot. We're working with the Republic Review, again, another group that's doing something a little different, but we support what they're doing because it's fabulous, and they support what we're doing, so therefore we can work together. We put pages up on this on our website for that. There are other things that we do support. We may not have connected with them, but we see what they're doing, and we agree, and we send people over there to get assistance from certain individuals in different places. But yeah, we want to align with as many people as possible, and every county has to really work things out. They need to be given the information, a good education, the ability to communicate and organize with other counties, and then at some point, then they have to, when they get working, they have to figure things out for themselves. One county may do it this way, another county may do it that way, and that's the business of the county, free and independent individuals on the ground.
Start at the county level, right?
Yeah, and then they can learn from the mistakes of a county next door. Oh, we already done that. That didn't work. Hey, let me tell you what my next strategy is. It's up to them to work it out. We just need to educate them and help them to organize, assist them in the process, give them a procedure, let them know how things work, and certify the jury administrators. We have a certification course that they have to go through, which is a paid position, 5 for every county, lots of positions open, and you don't have to work in the county you live in, so, you know, whatever. So, but anyway.
Well, you answered my question. I was trying to figure out, who all the players are. Mm-hmm. And I came across your site. I don't even remember how. And it also looked real familiar with a lot of the stuff that, you know, I'm following. So I wanted to call in and find out who you guys were compared to, like you said, I know Anna Van Rijks and her group, and I'm getting familiar with the assemblies. I don't know, nationalassembly.net, they call themselves. Where you all fit in.
I think I looked at that particular site. I thought I saw some problems, but I'll look again. But,
me too.
I'm a strict
devout follower of the David Strait, like the first guy I was talking about.
Right. Yeah, David Strait is right on.
We both long believe the same things.
Yeah, we do too. And the only thing is I think he's got a wrong solution. And but he's doing a good job because he's educating the people and exposing the fraud, and people are able to see it. And that's the key point we need anyway.
Yep. And it's really, really taking off right now.
Yeah.
As far as the people becoming aware of what the stuff that you have on your site and our God-given rights.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right.
I'll let you go so you can continue on, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm going to move the mic over to Brent. Brent, are you with us here? I'm on NQA. Yeah. Let me end Q&A. Well, you know what? I'll leave Q&A open in case someone wants to talk. You got 15 minutes, but you can talk as long as you want, really. This program's going way over time tonight, but that's okay. And if I'm not here when you end, Terry, will you close down if I'm not here?
Yes, I'll take care of that.
Okay. All right. Brent Allen Winters is the author of The Excellence of the Common Law and numerous other books. He's a common law lawyer. His website is commonlawyer.com. Isn't that what it is, Brent? Commonlawyer.com?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brent, you got the mic.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Thanks, John. And this is Brent, Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. Got a email not long ago. It's representative of what I get pretty often. I want to read it to you here. This fellow says, as his name, I won't say his name, "You have helped me understand the question of common law through your book, classes, and calling me one time to help me. I come to you again out of the concern for my own understanding of the common law, and also I'm concerned about your understanding as well. Well, he's being nice, but he's going to straighten me out. That's what we're going to get here. He's trying to be nice about it. In the last couple of months, my understanding has greatly increased. I've come to understand key components such as the maxims of equity and bigger biblical principles such as jure divino, as well as fully understand standing due unto others. I am with these people called the Sovereign's Way now, the Sovereign's Way, and they are teaching more of the basic common law stuff I once found but never fully understood through and through, probably because I didn't understand equity, nor did I understand the Bible as well as I do now. With all of that being said, I'm glancing through your book, Excellence of the Common Law, armed with my newer understanding to see how it reads to me with new eyes. I have read across a lot of case law, which I will look up and deliver to you for closer inspection if you request. My understanding is that codes and statutes are not law. I'm going to stop right there. He says codes and statutes are not law. Well, of course they aren't. This is the point, one of the points I struggle to get across, but seldom happens, it seems like. I've concluded that I'm, in most cases, talking to the cubic foot air in front of my face, and I'm comfortable with that and have been for a few decades now, but it's my job just to try to say it best I can. But listen to me very closely, friends, neighbors, and kin. Law is not what's written down anywhere. Even the Bible itself, that beautiful record, is that. It is a record. It is not the Word of God in this sense. It is the record that God has given us of His Word. It is not the Word of God. It is the record of it. It is the expression of it, the inerrant expression of it, the complete expression of it. That's true. And God Himself, the lawgiver, from whose decision there is no appeal, has given us that. But how much more so are the writings and the opinions of men not law? None of them. I don't care whether you're talking about court opinions or statutes. Well, then what are they? Again, they are the records, the expressions of what people believe to be, they think, is true law, or consonant with true law. Law is not something written on paper. Law is, as Justice Story of the United States Supreme Court said, it is the brooding omnipresence of the law. I don't know where he got that, but I'll tell you where it sounds like he got it. You know, He who never quotes has never quoted, and Justice Story did a lot of reading, and he quoted a lot of people, and that's our common law tradition too. But, you know, it says in the Bible, in the beginning, or it says, yeah, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says that the Spirit, that is the Ruach, the gumption breath of God, now watch this word, brooded upon the faces of the waters. Now, the King James, I think, says, how does it put it? I don't remember. The Spirit of God, it wasn't brooded. Some of you can remember. But the Spirit of God was upon the face of the waters. What are some of the translations say that? I had King Jimmy's book right here beside me. Now I don't see it. I was going to just grab it real quick and see what it says. But the word there, translated upon the face of the waters, is the same Hebrew word that the prophet of the Old Testament uses to describe the brooding of the eagle over her chicks. It's an old word, brood, but what it means is to nurture and to nurturing includes feeding. Before the eggs are hatched, it includes sitting, in other words, warming. We used to listen to the old hens brood out in the brooder house. We had a brooder house at home. We called it a brooder house because that's where the hens did their brooding. That means they set their eggs and hatched them, and then they'd nurture their chicks. But it's the sitting and the hatching. But the Spirit of God is likened to what a mother bird, what a hen does over her nest and over her young. She broods. You ever see a mother dote over her baby? Look at it fondly, touch its face. That's called brooding, nurturing. And when Justice Joseph Story said that the common law is a brooding omnipresence, that's what he meant. So this fella is still looking for the law to be something in writing. And you're not understanding what law is until you grasp. And it ought to grasp you more than you grasp it. Grasp that it is a presence that is indescribable. It's always there. Why? Because true law is the will of the sovereign. And who is the sovereign? The maker of all things. And he is omnipresent at all times and all places completely. And the expression of him is his will. And so when Story says the brooding on the presence of the law, that's what he means. Well, this fellow, he's still looking for the, as though something in writing is the law. So he's going to say, well, statutes and codes are not the law, but court opinions are. That's a popular opinion. So the common law is court opinions. Well, are court opinions the law? Well, that's somebody's opinion. That's why we call it opinions. In our common law tradition, we have opinions. They do not have that in the rest of the world, but we do. We have dissenting opinions. We have majority opinions. That's all part of our common law tradition. But that's the expression that somebody believed the law to be. And the same thing is true, friends, neighbors, and relatives, the same thing is true of legislation. A conscientious legislator and a conscientious legislature should express standards by their legislation, if they're doing their job, that is consonant with God's expression of his will, his law, in that book we call the Bible. Anything out of whack with that book is false. It's just somebody's screwball idea of what they think it ought to be. And boy, you can read some screwball ideas when you read legislation. Is it law? Well, it may or it may not be. But don't say, well, this is the common law over here in the court opinions, and this is not over here in the codes and statutes. Listen, if the codes and statutes are consonant with God's expression of law, well, that's good. That's not bad. If court opinions are consonant, they're opinions, but if they're consonant with God's expression of law, well, that's good. And the court opinions and the codes and the statutes and the pronouncements of government should be, if they're conscientious, attempts to apply the fundamental first principles of the will of our Creator. And that's the phrases of our Declaration of 76. The laws of nature, unwritten, lex non scripta. And the laws of nature's God, written, lex scripta. And both of those, as our common law courts say, are findings. These are the findings of the law. Well, why do they say the findings of the law? Because they're following this idea of our common law tradition that the law is eternal. Therefore, it is the duty of men to find it, not to manufacture it, not to come up with it out of whole cloth, not to be creative and genius and think of it yourself. No, you look at the facts of the case and you find the applicable law. You think it through. And we have the inerrant declaration, the record preserved that God has preserved himself of the first principles of his will as the sovereign that constitutes law. This guy says, I've read a lot of case law, and it is default law. I said, my understanding, codes and statutes are default law for those who do not know the law of the Creator. As I read through your book, and having took your most recent class, from what I gathered, it is your opinion that common law is the codes and statutes, including constitutions, with the most recent class announcements, Magna Carta. No, those aren't the law. Those are what men believe are expressions of what they believe to be the law. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. Some men are wrong all the time because they start with the wrong premise. Other men are right some of the time, wrong some of the time. Other men are mostly right. I've listened to Supreme Court Justice Fields from 150 years ago. He was mostly right in his opinions because he was right-headed. And most men, though, are wrong-headed, and their opinions are wrong. Their legislation, their codes, their statutes, whatever expression they're involved with, it's wrong. I found that, too. Because some men, as the Bible says, are right-headed, and some are wrong. Some men got their nose pointed in the right direction, and some don't. If you're going the opposite way of truth, well, everything you say and do is going to be wrong. He continues, I've been in these courtrooms, and to me it does not feel like any of the statutes and code stuff is common law at all. Well, of course, I don't care how he feels about it. That's not really the test, is it, how you feel about it? No, law is an objective matter, not a subjective matter. It's objective in the sense that the Creator breaks through to creation, into creation. And he makes his pronouncement, listen, if there isn't some objective, if law is not an objective matter from outside of us, then there is no limit to what we think we can do. And that means there's no limit to the governments of men, and the governments of men in such case will be total. They will be tyranny. If you think that law arises from within you, the Greeks thought that. Matter of fact, in the Greek tongue, the word for law, nomos, is a cognate taken from their word for mind of man, the mind of man, nous. The mind of man produces law. That's their idea. That's what they believed. That was essential to their understanding of reality. And that's why we call them humanist. They become the mind of man becomes the measure of all things, including right and wrong. That, friends and neighbors and kin, is nothing but glorified demonism. No, law is an objective matter. It's not part of creation. It is applied in creation, but it is from the Creator, and he objectively brings it in to us and declares it to us. His record of his will. Well, I'm 3 minutes over. This is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com, and he mentioned it in this email. Join us for our Magna Carta class, Magna Carta, clause by clause and blow by blow of common lawyer comments. You can go to commonlawyer.com and sign up for the class, but John's probably gone now, but
I'm still here.
He'll maybe chime in.
Oh, I'm still here.
I'll turn it back to you and call in the dogs and head for the house.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. When did you start that course? I didn't know you started another course.
Now, did you ask a question? I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, when did you start that
again?
Course? When
it starts on the 5th, scheduled for the 5th of January.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to go through it.
Like
fall.
That sounds like an interesting course. That's a course I definitely need to attend, because the Magna Carta is a very difficult paper to really come to a good appreciation. It's going to take a lot of study, and it sounds like you, of course, you know, with your book and everything, you've done a lot of study in that area. So, all right, appreciate that. Maybe send me some info on that.
Thank you.
I also wrote a paper.
I
also wrote a paper. I don't know if you're listening, you've been listening endlessly, but I wrote a paper going before the United States Supreme Court. I'll drop a copy in your Skype, and maybe you can give me some comment on it.
Please do. Yeah, thank you.
All right. All right, good talking to you. Thank you. All right, I guess that brings us to the end of the program. We're way over, an hour over. We used to do 3 hours, but, you know, past year or so, we moved down to 2. But from time to time, I guess we could do 3 hours. Anyway, Lord willing, we'll see everyone next Monday. We'll be here right after New Year's. Wish everybody a blessed and safe New Year's. And Godspeed, everyone. See you next week. Thank you.